much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in perspective.
After all this time, now you come to visit me, brother. Why?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Excuse me. Hi. You're Casey Kasem. You're unbelievable.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
No. Seriously, I'm telling you. You blew me away.
Well, that's really nice of you to
say. No. I'm telling you what you do. It's really amazing. It's fabulous.
Yes, well, can we get...
No. I'm telling you. I'm telling you what you do. I really get it. I get what's going on with you. It's amazing. Really. Great stuff.
Yes.
No. Really. Do me a favor. Say, coming in this week at number one is Lionel Richie. We're stuck on you. Huh?
No, I really don't think I can do
that. No. Come on, do it. Seriously, do it. Come on, do it.
Coming in at number one this week is Lionel Richie was stuck on you.
That's great. You get this at home all the time, right? That's good. All right, do Shaggy from Scooby-Doo. Come on.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
So who should you turn to fund your lung?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You know what? Respect. That's a baller move.
Roll another one.
Airtight.
Just like the other one.
What?
This one seems to be about to quit.
Have you ever been on Lufthansa Airline before?
I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine, dude.
Wow. Let's kill.
Roll another one.
My God, why is there vomit everywhere?
Just like the other one.
Bravo, bravo.
This one seems to be about to end.
Burrito.
I don't have another cent.
What about poop?
What about
poop? Stop. Weird.
Roll
person named Kevin.
First of all, no!
And now,
how on earth did you even think of this?
How does any genius figure out his inventions? I mean, how did Leonardo DiCaprio figure out about gravity? Because the bitch was sleeping underneath a tree and an apple hit him on his head.
Our feature presentation.
That guy's got a point. Mercury had all the facts exactly right in gravity.
Sounded right to me. Morning, everybody. It's a brand new Kevin and Bean Show. It's Friday. It's the 22nd of November. Thanksgiving is next week.
Yeah, it sure is.
How about
sure
that?
And that means Acoustic Christmas is coming up, and we should remind you that 7 o'clock this morning is when the deadline is. If you want to bid on the ultimate Acoustic Christmas experience, you can go to Carrick.com right now and bid, if you like, two great nights. Saturday or Sunday night, and this includes VIP tickets in the pit, includes backstage passes, it includes you get to introduce a band on stage, and I bring it up so early because you might want to start getting your thinking cap on about how much you're willing to spend for that experience. All the proceeds go to benefit the folks in the Philippines who were devastated by the typhoon recently, and the deadline is at 7 o'clock this morning, so I expect a lot of action on the site here.
Sure, this is when it all goes down.
Exactly, yeah, why bid on Tuesday when the thing ends on Friday? Yeah. I want to tell you a story about, we talk from time to time about how these guys in prison end up with girlfriends. You know, they're in prison sometimes for life, yet they still end up getting a girlfriend from the outside, you know, come in and be with them.
And it doesn't matter how horrific their crime.
Right.
They always get a chick.
And I wonder what that does to the psyche of decent, hardworking, clean, legitimate people on the outside who literally can't get a date. What does that do if you're a 25-year-old guy out there who's really putting his best foot forward and is trying to get a girlfriend and can, and then you see a story about some guy in prison for murder who has no trouble getting girls?
Yeah. Although I'd like to suggest that perhaps those of you that aren't in prison don't want those girls.
Well, maybe
that's
not.
That's possible.
I will tell you, I'm reading an article about a young lady. We don't know her real name. She goes by the name Star, and she's very pretty. very pretty. She looks like a young Alanis Morissette. Okay. She is 25 years old. Since she was 19, she's been pen pals with a prisoner in the Corcoran State Prison in California. So they've wrote to each other back and forth. And then eventually she moved to Corcoran, where now she lives and visits him for 5 hours of visitation every Saturday and every Sunday. She, wow. again, 25. He is 79.
What?
And is Charles Manson.
So Charles Manson has 2 5-hour visits from a hot, do you say hot chick?
Yes.
Alanis
a hot 25-year-old chick. Yes, exactly. Now the reports are that they are planning to marry. I'll tell you straight up, Star says, Charlie and I are going to get married. I take it very seriously. Charlie is my husband. Charlie told me to tell you this. So what's that deal?
That's another person under his spell.
That's what I wonder about. You know, the thing about Charles Manson, for folks who know the name, I mean, his name has been the personification of evil for the second half of the 20th century and beyond. He never killed anybody. Remember
right.
that, okay? He was just very charismatic and influential and talked his followers into killing people. They killed, if I remember correctly, they killed 4 people one night and then went out and killed 3 people the next night. But he never killed anybody. He just told them what to do. All right.
You don't have to tell me. I watched The Following. I understand
okay.
how that works.
All right, great. So my question to you is, can he, if he gets this girl under her spell to the point where she now calls herself Star because that's the name he gave her, she's now planning on marrying him. She moved to be close to him. Isn't she potentially now going to go out and murder somebody if Charles Manson tells her to? I mean, wouldn't that be a concern if he legitimately is that charismatic and has that power?
I think that's a pretty good guess. And you'd have to be pretty twisted to be 25 and be interested in him as well.
Yes.
I mean, you have to have some mental issues going into that situation.
By the way, by all accounts, she had a regular upbringing with a good family. She went to college. She's considers herself a Christian. I mean, there's nothing about this woman that would suggest that she's cuckoo, but obviously she is. She's also running a website called Release Charles Manson Now, where she claims that he definitely was innocent and he was railroaded and he was illegally tried and blah, 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 goes on and on and on.
How do you tell your parents?
How do you tell your parents? Hey, I've got a guy.
What are you doing this weekend? You know, I got a guy. Who? Manson. Charles Manson. It's no big deal. He's a cool dude.
Remember the guy I dated in high school that you were angry with me because he smoked? Well,
it's much worse.
You're gonna feel pretty good about this one. By the way, Charles Manson, during his trial, carved an X into his forehead that in prison he later adapted to make it a swastika. So he's got a big old swastika on his forehead. She has already carved an X into her forehead as well.
All right.
So she is definitely heading down the path. So let's keep an eye on that one, shall we?
That bitch is crazy.
Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show.
Everyone is miserable, and you are only making it worse.
There's a movie that you may not have heard of called Contracted, and it's a horror film, and it's awesome. It looks like it's going to be great, and we have Eric England. I believe he's the director on the program today to talk about that.
And the writer, too, I think.
And the writer, okay. It's the next level of STD, where you basically... I don't even understand. We'll have to ask him. We have a lot of questions. Alex Borstein will be in the studio with us. She, of course, is the voice of Lois Griffin on Family Guy, and she's got a new TV show on HBO called Getting On, which looks awesome.
Looks very dark and potentially very funny.
It does, yeah. Cousin Sal will be here giving you his NFL picks for the weekend, as it is Friday. We have Bob Odenkirk on the program today. He's going to tell us about the Yuck Fest that is Nebraska. And we have the movie beat because it's Friday, and we have your tickets for Pearl Jam, and it's going to be your last chances because Pearl Jam is tomorrow and Sunday. So that's coming up this morning. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the showbiz. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and you are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 549.
Boop, boop. Ralph Garman steps in to make every song a disco remix.
That song needs the boo up.
Sort of does.
It does.
As we head into our first showbiz beat for a new Kevin and Bean Show here on a Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
I feel Dave's pain. I just feel his pain.
What pain?
Because his Falcons are struggling.
Oh, his Falcons blow.
Football seasons
are very long when your team sucks. Oh. I've had several of those.
I've had many, many more than anyone ever in the history of anyone.
It's quite a claim.
Eagles had a good couple years there, and it's just been just pain on either side. But I feel for him.
Dave's going through it.
Although I watched the game last night, and for the first time this season, I watched Thursday Night Football from the beginning. Usually I just punch in, you know, I watch from the beginning. So I would ask the question of everyone in this room, why aren't we talking about Priyanka Chopra 24 hours a day, every day?
I don't know who Priyanka Chopra
That's
is.
That's your problem.
Who is it?
That's your problem.
Who is it?
Isn't she the ESPN sideline reporter?
I hate you both.
Wait, so that's not right?
No.
Who is she?
Priyanka Chopra is the young lady who sings at the beginning of every Thursday night football game.
Oh.
You know, Carrie Underwood comes out on Sunday nights on NBC and sings the opening song.
Okay.
Well, Priyanka Chopra comes out and sings a song called In My City at the beginning of every Thursday night game on NFL Network. And she is insanely beautiful.
She is insanely beautiful.
You don't even know.
Says here she was Miss World of 2000.
Yeah, well, she's Miss Gonads of Ralph's Pants.
That's quite a prestigious honor.
It is. She wears that crown all the time.
Wow.
She's insanely hot. She's ridiculously hot.
Well, it seems to me like you're going to have to rent some of her Bollywood films because she's quite an actress, it looks like.
And just learn how to dance and everything, just like Dev Patel in the train station.
And she will be yours.
And she will be mine.
She's something.
She's ridiculous.
Yeah.
She is off the chizzy, as the kids say. I was watching last night and my pants exploded, literally, as I was watching the beginning of the show. I was like, how did she exist? And I didn't know until right now, 12 weeks into the season, that she existed.
It's not so bad that it's good that it's new, but it is frustrating that it's been going on and no one told you.
It's insanely frustrating. I've missed 12 weeks of her.
Yeah, she's the deal.
Hotness shouldn't be allowed to exist if we don't know about it.
There should be some sort of alert system or something, right?
Bean's got Google alerts for, like, celebrity deaths.
Yeah,
couldn't we get,
right.
like,
yeah.
no, hot
they,
singers?
They find
or...
another bell off the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Right.
Bean knows about it. But with Priyanka Chopra, isn't she the sideline reporter? No, she's not!
Well, let's try to get her on the show, you guys.
Priyanka Chopra is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And I will still
Deepak's
say
daughter?
It, and I will say it every day till I die. All right, now I got that off my chest. Let's talk about some other showbiz news. Brittany Murphy, still shrouded in conspiracy.
Okay. Still dead?
Still dead. However, people talking about the dangerous levels of heavy metals that were in her body. Maybe she was listening to some Primus before she died.
See, because...
Zing!
You went with heavy metal, the music.
Now, she may not have been poisoned, say new researchers, because they claim that... The same heavy metals that show up in a poisoning victim, manganese, calcium, other toxic elements, is also common in drug addicts.
And Dr. Drew told us yesterday in hair dye. So both.
These elements are used as thinners in batches of heroin sometimes, and they can show up in the bloodstream.
Mm.
But they say OxyContin, oxycodone, and diapills can also lead to high amounts of heavy metal buildup in the system. So there's no necessarily no causal effect just because she has heavy metals in her body that she was poisoned. But
it's always sad to see a parent trying to reach out and make some kind of sense of it.
Yeah, but regardless, it's interesting stuff. Yesterday I talked about the fact that Arcade Fire had slapped a mandatory dress code on their upcoming tour, saying you had to wear what they call in the UK fancy dress, formal or costumes.
So today you're here to tell us that was false? That was a bogus story?
I'm here to say that it's not mandatory, that it's the request of Arcade Fire that you would do that, please. But they wanted to set the record straight and let everyone know that no one will be turned away from the concert if you don't.
That was the shocking part of that story.
If you don't dress up. They wanted to correct that false story that apparently had been circulating via Ticketmaster on their Facebook page. They said it's not super mandatory. They really want you to do it, is what I'm telling you, okay? They really want you to do it.
Right.
But it's not super mandatory. But if you do it, it makes for a fun carnival where we are all in it together, they say. So they would really like you to do it, but I guess they don't want to scare anyone off who thinks they're going to be closed out if you dress up like Kevin in board shorts and a mesh tank top with a nipple ring.
How dare you? What's my concert going where? The part of the story that was ridiculous was if you bought a ticket, they still wouldn't let you in.
Yeah.
And so that's not the case.
Yeah, that's not the case.
All right, good.
You'll be able to get in.
Kim Kardashian looks like she bounced right back into shape after giving birth to her baby North. But now people are saying, did she have some medical assistance? Wonder if it would be like Kim Kardashian to go through severe medical procedures to get her body back.
I don't see
so
that.
So she could start posting pictures of her ass on Instagram as quickly as possible.
Porn star Kim Kardashian.
Life and Style magazine claims that she is a regular at a clinic in Beverly Hills where she's undergoing treatments to reduce fat and stretch marks on her body. Here's what she does, this sneaky little wench. Apparently she dresses up in her workout clothes to go to the appointments because there's a Pilates studio right next door.
Oh, good.
She enters in one entrance, goes out the back door for a change instead of going in the back door, and then she goes to the plastic surgeon and gets all sucked and worked and stretched and pulled.
That's all right. I'm good with that. She's looking good.
You know what? She looks good. She really should only take still pictures, though. Because even in that Kanye West video, she's the opposite of sexy. It's like someone took the brain out of a hot girl and just put her in front of a camera. She looks like she's in a food coma. Just, she's barely interested. She doesn't radiate any sort of sexuality or anything. She's just a mannequin.
But she's a great-looking mannequin. But you're right.
She doesn't have a sexual vibe at all about her. Even in that video where she's naked with her supposed real true love, she can't muster any sort of sexual energy.
That's an excellent point, Ralph. She does look like she's swimming through oatmeal or something, you know? It's just nothing fluid about it. You're absolutely
and
right.
And there's no register. Nothing registers on that face. Maybe it's too much Botox or something, but there's just no sexy vibe coming off her at all.
I'm going to need to watch that video a few more times just to do some research.
When you look at her face, she's just dead inside.
Maybe Kanye should have sprung for Priyanka Chopra for
Priyanka Chopra!
I mean, that would have made it a better video.
Tell you, Priyanka Chopra, in the beginning of those Thursday Night Football.
Yeah.
She oozes sexuality.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think we got that.
I'm going to start wearing a Nehru jacket, I think.
You can't get rid of the leather jacket, man. That's
I'm going to get a leather Nehru jacket.
That's all you.
I'm
going to
have the best of both worlds. Slumdog Millionaire. Just start saying that a lot. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Young lady named Scarlett Johansson celebrates her birthday today.
Yeah!
How about a bell? Thank you.
Boobs. No Priyanka Chopra. 29 years old today. Mark Ruffalo. Two of the Avengers had the same birthday. Black Widow and Dr. Bruce Banner, a.k.a. the Hulk. He's 46 years old today.
That's not even interesting.
You got a lot of sack. Says the king
of those facts.
Yes. Michael K. Williams is 47 years old today. Very talented actor. Marielle Hemingway, another lovely, talented actress, is 52 years old. Jamie Lee Curtis celebrates her 55th birthday. And actor and legendary guitarist, member of the E Street Band, Little Steven Van Zandt, celebrates his 63rd birthday today. I bought him a head wrap. I hope he likes it. I wonder if we get any use out of it. Oh, wait a minute. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk all the showbiz beats.
The auction for the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas, night number one and night number two at the Shrine, closes in about 55 minutes at 7 o'clock this morning. So you might want to check it out at krock.com, see where the bids are, see if you can bid and win one of the five packages each night.
They're all right about $2,000 right now. For the two sold-out tickets in the pit, VIP Artist Access Pass, you get to introduce a band at the show. It's going to be the best acoustic Christmas of your life, and all the proceeds are going to the Red Cross Disaster Relief Fund to help with the devastation in the Philippines. Again, as Kevin mentioned, 7 o'clock, so that means 53 minutes and 7 seconds from right now is your deadline.
I got to tell you about my man Omar. Two things.
DJ Omar Khan.
Two things about Omar. One, awesome DJ.
Thank you.
You can hire him to do your party, your Christmas party, your bar mitzvah.
Wedding, whatever.
Wedding.
Yeah, just go to DJOmarKhan.com.
Didn't Omar just open for Steve Aoki at the Shrine a couple of weeks ago?
Yeah, he did. Last Friday, yeah.
That happened last Friday.
And you can have that guy play your bar mitzvah.
Yeah, that's true.
That's correct.
That's just weird when you think about over here, DJing with Steve Aoki over here, play at a 13-year-old
party. Dude, if you pay me, I'll show up at your kid's baby shower.
So what's the website again?
DJOmarKhan.com, or you guys could just email me at omar@karaoq.com.
All right, now, but before you do that, I'd like you to hear the second part about Omar. He's crazy.
No, I'm not.
And we were talking in the office after the show. I think 2 days ago.
Yeah.
And Omar was telling us while he was on vacation that he had a very special and a very, very important mission. He was on a mission from God.
I was. My backyard was overrun with lizards. And it's been a problem for a couple of months now. And I just had to man up and get rid of them because I have a bug guy, and the bug guy told me that they really don't do lizards, and he actually said that, you know, it's pretty good to have lizards around because they get rid of your bugs, your ants, spiders.
Now, we had an hour conversation about this, but I would like Bean.
Oh my God.
I would like Bean to follow up with his line of questioning because it's pretty much the same stuff.
But also, you have to understand that 6 months ago, we started out with like one lizard.
Right.
Okay. And then when I finally conquered my fear and conquered my demons and manned up and started taking action, it was like they were like rolling 10 deep.
Okay, before I hear about what action you took as you were manning up against a defenseless creature, what does it mean when you say that your backyard is overrun by lizards? I mean, like what problem were the lizards causing for you?
They were around.
Right, but what were they doing?
Oh, I can tell you that. They were chilling.
Yeah, they were chilling. and they, you know, they were like right by my sliding back door, and they were leaving little poops around everywhere, which was very, very disgusting to me. And
how little must the poop be of a lizard, by the way?
Seriously. It is, but it was still poops. I don't want no lizard poop around in my backyard, and they freaked me the hell out, too.
Why? How do they freak you out?
They're disgusting to me. It's a disgusting animal. I really do think that it all stems from the Land of the Lost. I used to watch that show when I was a little kid. Remember the Slee Stacks, the lizards?
Of course. Yeah,
they used to freak me the hell out.
But do you understand there's a difference?
Do you understand that they're disgusting?
No, okay,
so yeah, they are. They're just...
So here's what I assume what you did is the same thing I do when I have the bullfrog infestation in my pond every spring is that you go out and you catch them and you put them in a little Tupperware and then you drive them over to a field, you release them and let them go.
No, I get a killing stick and I kill it. Oh yeah, I like try to murder as many as I can.
Now,
why would yes,
ahead.
Kevin?
No, you go ahead because that's why, the question.
Why would you kill a defenseless little lizard who can't do anything to you?
This isn't
a raccoon. This isn't a wolf. This isn't a bear.
Yeah, but you have to understand that in my eyes, it was like threatening, disgusting. The only thing I had to do.
What's threatening about a lizard?
They have no offense.
They can't bite. They can't sting.
What do you mean they can't bite? They absolutely can bite.
But they don't bite human beings and
they can
nothing
if you
happens.
But they can and they will. And I was assuming in my head, you have to understand, guys, that rationally thinking, okay, I know you guys are making sense.
Right.
But when I was out there, I was just like, these guys are after me. They're multiplying. I got the bug guy can't do anything about it. I need to take my own action.
Wait, the bug guy told you what specifically? Because I want people to hear this.
The bug guy said that it's really, you know, it's a good thing to have him around because they get rid of insects or
right.
whatever.
So and he calls really the bug guy, and the bug guy says, no, don't kill them because they're good for
yeah,
you.
But
and you said, you're not going to kill them, I'll take action.
Yeah, but that was but that was when I only had like maybe two or three around, which was like, okay, fine. Or you know, and then they started multiplying, and it was, I mean, in one day.
Were they giving you the stink eye?
They were. And by the way, I had this little retaining wall back there, and they would just chill up there like they were sunbathing, and they were like looking at me and saying, yeah, what are you going to do? They were just super annoying.
Can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
This is just a generic question we ask all guests.
Okay.
Were you at the time on shrooms?
No. No, I wasn't. No.
Too much weed?
No.
Okay.
No. Huh. But if I would let this problem persist, I mean, you know, they're going to be 20 deep and I have lizards everywhere. That's disgusting.
Bean, let me tell you.
Who wants 20 lizards just everywhere running around rampant in your backyard? No.
I have never heard in my entire experience of people I either know or don't know and read about of somebody whose home was overrun by lizards.
Yeah, me either.
Like, not one time have I ever heard that.
Don't they kill other insects?
And this is the problem
that
just started this past summer. So I don't know what it is.
So they were overrunning his backyard, Dean, and I would like to explain to you, Omar, in his prime, on his best day, killed
four.
Oh.
Yeah, four. Maybe
that
five.
That breaks my heart.
Now,
disgusting.
It doesn't break my heart, but I know everybody has to draw the line someplace.
Yeah.
Like most people love dogs and wouldn't consider cats, they're on the line for me.
Right.
But not for most people, I get it. But when it comes to mosquitoes or whatever,
right.
Most people don't care.
Right.
Now, I agree with mosquitoes. I agree with flies. I agree with wasps. But that's only because of the things that they do to you in your environment. But a lizard, I just, like, did you feel even a little bit? How did you kill them, by the way? You said a killing stick. What is that?
I had a couple of different methods. When I first manned up and I started trying to go after them, I would actually try to, like, trap them, but they were really, really fast. So then I had to get a long stick, and then I would kind of, like, yeah, at first I was really timid, and I would try to jab them, and, you know, they would run away. So then when I kill the first one, and the first kill is always your hardest. It gets easier after that. Okay,
all right, Dexter.
I saw that on Breaking Bad as well.
So then I got one. I was like, all right, cool. And then, like, this is how freaked out I am. I wouldn't be able to, like, pick it up. I would have to get, like, a rake or a shovel and keep it really far away from me, and then throw it in the trash can.
What happened to you?
Because you're afraid of the dead ones too.
Yeah,
you know it's not Jurassic Park, right? You know they're just little yard lizards.
It just, when it comes down to, like, you know, and this is funny. You guys are think this is hilarious, but I classify these lizards equally as bad, maybe not equally, but almost there, just as bad as rodents.
As a rat.
Or a mouse. I'm freaked out to those as well. But then, so then I started using a killing stick, and then the lizards started getting smart. They would hide under, have this umbrella with an umbrella base back there, but it's on wheels. So they would hide under there. So I would just, like, and the base is really heavy. So I would just move the base, and then the wheels would just crush the lizard.
Oh.
Yeah. And then one time, the day after that, I remember specifically, I was like, okay, that worked the previous day. So I'm going to try to do that method again. And freaking, I don't know if word got around. That
oh,
was
sure.
Out
they
there.
Passed the word.
And I tried to do the same thing, and it didn't work. So I hit it, and it flung it into the pool. And then it was there. And then it started swimming. And I was like, oh, I feel bad. And then it started crawling about the retaining wall.
Wait. Like, you felt bad that it was swimming, then you killed it?
Well, this is what happened. I was just like, it started climbing up the retaining wall. I was like, well, if I don't get the sucker now, then it's going to be, you know, alive and living here. And don't get me wrong, dude, I'm not in jubilation about this whole entire thing. I'm like, oh, yeah, killing is rad or whatever. I just really do think that if I wouldn't have took action, it was going to be overrun by all kinds of lizards, and I didn't want that. I mean, literally, they were everywhere.
Hey, Lizard Hitler,
yeah.
Why do you think it would be overrun?
Because they were everywhere.
So what?
Dude, why? Who would want lizards everywhere in the backyard?
Who cares? I wouldn't care. I'd look at it and go, that's a lizard.
Oh, dude, trust me. Melissa and your kids would not want them everywhere.
No, they wouldn't care. You know why? They know that they're not harmful.
You would want lizards everywhere?
Yeah.
Why?
Because they're not at all harmful.
Dude, I don't know.
I want them for pets.
Really?
I'd put a leash on them.
I'm going to give you 10 lizards.
No, I don't want them after you've done your nastiness to them.
Look. We have to take a break, but because we got the movie beat coming up next. But let me just ask you this question, because this is really going to get to the heart of the matter. You get a call or an email at DJ Omar Khan to play a party where they're going to pay you $10,000 to come play your party.
Uh-huh.
But the party is being thrown by a bunch of lizards. What do you do?
10 grand?
Yeah.
I show up and kill them all and take the 10 grand.
Wow.
There it is.
Wow.
I'm going to have to take your Christmas present. I was going to make you guys. I'm making wallets. Lizards covered skin wallets
you
for you guys. You guys don't want those?
No.
Come on.
What's wrong with you?
Bad man, Omar. Chad Kelsey from Fullerton just won tickets for Pearl Jam at the LA Sports Arena. You have a chance to win yours coming up later this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show. In fact, coming up next hour, we'll do that for you. Right now, it is Friday morning. Ralph is here. It's time for the Movie Beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
What a bunch of interesting films opening up this weekend. First time I've ever seen a list of movies that I am interested in seeing all of them.
Wow.
Four new movies.
That is rare.
Hit theaters this weekend. And let's kick things off with a documentary. I know sometimes just the word alone turns some people off, but depending on the subject matter, and sometimes even the director, these can be fascinating films. And this one is really interesting to me because I've always been a fan of the world's greatest pinup model, cult icon Betty Page. I've got some original Betty Page artwork at my home, and I always thought she was she came about in the 50s when sexual repression in this country ran rampant, and she sort of broke through in pop culture with her sexuality and her posing, and had dabbled in photographs involving spanking and sadomasochism and bondage, as well as standard pinup stuff. She really was well ahead of her time, and then there was a giant foot
that came down on her from the government trying to crush her. And if you've ever seen the movie with Gretchen Mol starring as Betty Page, fascinating story of her life. But the interesting part is she just disappeared. And no one disappeared. She just dropped off the face of the planet.
Was she ever seen again?
She became a recluse.
Okay.
She was never seen again.
Wow.
From time to time, someone would have a run-in with her, or a writer would try to contact her to get involved in the project. She had no interest, and she would never participate.
Wow.
She went from being one of the hottest figures in the public eye to being non-existent in the public eye.
Big ones, right?
Yes, indeed. But this director, Mark Mori, got a hold of Betty Page.
Oh,
now, she
really?
Still refuses ever to be filmed or photographed. Apparently, she's very conscious of how beautiful she was as a young girl and doesn't want to change that image in anyone's mind.
Yeah, you don't want to compare people to have that comparison.
But she did do the narration for this documentary called Betty Page Reveals All, where she talks about her life. And it's cut in with interviews of people like Hugh Hefner, who was there at the time, and the difference and the impact that she made on sexuality and modeling and everything else. Fascinating story, fascinating life, finally from the woman herself. We've never heard her version from her own mouth before. Here's some clips from the trailer of Betty Page Reveals All.
She reached the peak of popularity and disappeared.
Nobody knew what happened to Betty Page.
She was hearing voices.
She was slinging hash.
She pleaded insanity.
The mob had rubbed her out.
It had built up so much that my mind snapped. They claim that I opened up the sexual revolution. I was just doing my job and enjoyed every bit of it.
So now she's an old lady talking about how she was one time the biggest sex symbol in America. Why are you laughing? Because she's old, Kevin?
Well, it's just to hear somebody that old talking about being that hot is weird. But that sounds fascinating.
What can she do, Kevin?
What can she do about getting old?
What can she do?
What can
what
I
would
do?
You
it
have
just made
to,
me laugh.
What would you have her do?
Makes me laugh.
Just
it's
die.
Involuntary.
You want her just to die?
No.
Also opening up this weekend, Philomena. This is a small independent film starring Dame Judi Dench, Steve Coogan, one of my favorites. He plays a journalist in this film. Apparently, it's based on a true story. And he picks up on a story of a woman's search for her son who was taken away from her decades ago when she became pregnant and was forced to live in a convent by her parents.
Wow.
Yeah. Apparently, it's funny, it's heartwarming, it's touching. Here is Philomena, played by Judi Dench, telling Martin, Steve Coogan, about her hip replacement surgery.
I had a hip replacement last year, Martin.
Right.
It's much better than the bone one I had before.
Yes.
And it's titanium, so it won't rust.
Oh, it's a good job. Otherwise, I'd have to oil you like the Tin Man.
Is that right?
No, I mean, you know, like the Wizard of Oz.
He's just joking, Mum.
Apparently, the two of them become fast friends as he helps her search for her long-lost son. Delivery Man, speaking of kids, opens up this weekend. Vince Vaughn finds out that he has fathered 533 children through anonymous sperm donations to a fertility clinic 20 years ago. Now he's got to decide whether or not to come forward when 142 of them file a lawsuit to try to meet their daddy and discover his identity. Vince Vaughn stars along with Chris Pratt, Kobe Smulders. Vince Vaughn finds out in this scene that he's fathered over 500 children.
At the time of each of your multiple donations, you signed a confidentiality agreement. Legally, the Grabowski-Levitt Clinic is obligated to protect your identity. But a subset of your children is contesting the legality of those documents. They wish to know who Starbuck is.
Yo no soy David Wozniak! Yo no soy David Wozniak! Yo no soy David Wozniak! Adios.
He's pretending not to understand English when the guy approaches him. That's awesome.
Adios.
Adios. And lastly, of course, the big movie of the weekend, The Hunger Games Catching Fire.
Yay!
Jennifer Lawrence stars in the wildly popular film and franchise. Joss Hutcherson returns. Liam Hemsworth's also there. Philip Seymour Hoffman. Katniss Everdeen becomes the target of the Capitol after her victory in the 74th Hunger Games. And when that sparks a rebellion in the districts of Panem, you know.
Sure.
Now what's going to happen in the 75th Hunger Games? I don't know. But when they televise them, they better have Priyanka Chopra sing the opening song and dance. Or else I'm not watching your freaking Hunger Games. Here's a scene where Katniss is freaking out that the districts are not buying into the love story between her and Peeta Mellark.
and spells bad things for the Capitol.
You two have a very simple task.
I never meant for anyone to get killed. He has to know that.
What are you talking about? Who has to know what?
Snow. He came to see me. He's worried about rebellion in the districts. He thinks that they don't believe our love story.
You know, Candace, you should have told me that before I went out there and tried to give these people the money.
I'm sorry, I didn't know what to do.
Candace, what were you thinking?
Please, please, just help me get through this trip. Please, just help us get through this
trip, girl. Wake up.
From now on, your job is to be a distraction, so people forget what the real problems are.
Yeah, says Woody Harrelson.
I saw this, and it's awesome.
There you go.
It's really good.
Kevin liked it. That means I guarantee you it's loud, and it moves very quickly.
That's correct.
There you go.
It's really good.
Checking out Delivery Man this weekend. My wife gets to pick this weekend, so I think that's the one she wants to go see. And then Betty Page reveals all. It's in limited release. You may have to look a little harder to find it. I'm sure it'll be on VOD or DVD soon. Same with Philomena, also in limited release. But four good movies this weekend. How rare is that? Go out, enjoy yourself. Find yourself a theater and have a good time. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie.
By the way, did you see the photo that Dave Grohl tweeted this week from the rehearsals of Foo Fighters? You know, they're getting ready for those Mexico City shows in December.
I didn't see it, no.
So they got together for rehearsals. He tweeted a picture, you got to look for this, of his guitar just covered in blood.
All right.
Because he, I guess, hadn't played in a while, and that's what it does to his fingers when he hadn't played in a while. It was just, it's kind of creepy, but he's, you know, they give 111% when Foo Fighters perform. So apparently, even in rehearsal, getting ready for the show, they're giving their blood to it. So, interesting
stuff. That seems like a problem.
Speaking of music, Ralph yesterday was mocking my girlfriend, Bjork, who I love so much. She, we don't play much of her on K-Rock anymore.
Because she blows.
Because she's awesome. She used to be very popular. We played her a lot back in the 1990s. But her birthday was yesterday. She was 38 years old. Our favorite little Icelandic pixie turned 38 yesterday. And Kevin, you suggested, hey, maybe it's time to catch up with Bjork because we haven't talked to her in so long and find out how it's going for her and what she did for her birthday. And I believe she joins us on the phone right now on K-Rock. Hi, Bjork.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
We're very good. How are you?
I am wonderful with all of the nature that I am surrounding with all of the children of the planet who go around with all the magical aura of love and peace and all of the happy.
You are at one with the universe. That's one thing we know about you, Bjork. And yesterday was your 38th birthday. Can you tell us anything about how you celebrated?
Yes. I had a party here in the wilderness with all my fellow children of the planet.
A party in the wilderness, okay.
And we put some candles in a cloud, and I blew them out with an aura with all of this space inside the chakra that must be contained from all of the love and space that has the angels' wings and outside the power of the planet.
You lost me at candles. I you said you blew it out with your aura?
Yes. Huh. I used my aura to blow out the candles of the cloud. Okay. But I also surrounded by all of the sunshine beams that are trapped in the wings of the pixies, and all of the dwarfs came outside of the holes in order to give me a present of sugar.
How about a party with friends and a cake and something to drink?
No, I don't have any friends.
Oh, that's sad.
Because I have always just been one with the spirit of nature that is the world inside of us and outside also with the cotton candy of the soul.
Is it possible you don't have any friends because you're full on crazy?
Well, that is possible.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
But
yeah.
Also it's more important to have all of the children of the planet come together and dance around when the bears are catching their salmon up in the trees of life's blood.
the trees of life's blood. Now, you live in the woods, right? You don't even have a house anymore. Is that right, Bjork?
No, I skip through the woods. I bathe in the streams of nature.
Mm-hmm. What?
Oh, I think I see my one friend is here.
Oh, who's your one friend? You have a friend that's a llama?
Yes, her name is Dolly.
Come on.
Hello, Dolly. Dolly Llama. Hello, Dolly Llama. Would you like to have some time with me where we dance on the head of a pin and we put angel's wings up inside our eyelids in order to see God in all the celestial heavens? Well, screw you, Llama.
You are listening to the world famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
Actor Bob Odenkirk from, of course, Breaking Bad and the new film Nebraska joins us next hour on the Kevin and Bean Show. And Ralph, your movie wife from TED, Alex Borstein, will be here in the 8 o'clock hour as well.
I've known Alex for like 20 years.
Wow.
Yeah, we started at the
Even before you guys were on Family Guy?
Oh, well, a long time before that. We were at the Acme Comedy Theater together.
How about that?
Yeah, long time
before. Ralph is here. Before we get into the showbiz beat, just a quick update because we are only 5.5 minutes or so away from the close of the auction for you to bid on one of 10 Ultimate K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas experiences. You've been hearing about it for the past week or so. Today is the day. We're going to run out of time in about 5 minutes here. 2 sold-out tickets in the pit, VIP artist access passes, introduce a band at the show, all the proceeds going to the Red Cross Disaster Relief to help with the devastation in the Philippines. I believe we have Dave, the King of Mexico. He is monitoring the auction for us here in the final moments, and I believe Dave has an update for us. Dave, what is the high bid, please, as of right now for night number one?
For night number one, it's 2360.
2360.
Why can't he say 2,360? Like everyone else.
He's got a problem.
0.00.
And for night number two, as of right now, please.
2510.
$2,510. That is the top bid, is what Dave is trying.
That's the top bid. Now, the top five bids for each night win.
That's right.
And all of the proceeds go to the Philippines.
So, again, sold-out tickets in the pit, VIP artist access, introduce a band at the show. The auction ends at straight up 7 o'clock, so 4.5 minutes from right now. Still time for you to get in and make it the evening of a lifetime right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat.
Sadly for all the bidders, all of the tickets have gone to Priyanka Chopra. She gets all of the tickets.
I don't believe that's true.
It is true. I'm going to make it true.
You just saw her for the first time last night.
Yes.
Before the
now
first
I didn't
night.
Know she existed, and now I do. And now the world, as I know, has changed.
Yeah.
Nothing will ever be the same. People this morning who have tuned in late are hearing me talk about it. Who is that? She is the goddess who apparently sings at the opening of every Thursday night football game on the NFL channel, NFL Network. Hmm. And I had no idea she existed until last night because I usually don't tune into the pregame for the Thursday night games.
Right.
First of all, they've been pretty lackluster this season. Thursday nights have been struggling. But usually I'll punch in sometime in the first quarter, and I'll watch it as much as I'm interested in. But I've never seen the beginning of the show before. And apparently, a la Carrie Underwood on the Sunday night games on NBC, Priyanka Chopra comes out and performs this magical little ditty called In My City. And with these short shorts on, looking all Priyanka Chopra-y. And she's stunning.
She's stunning.
She's stunning. And yet she existed. And I had no idea. She was not on my radar at all.
You would think when she was Miss World, we would have caught wind of her.
I don't really follow the Miss World pageant
very closely.
But apparently she's one of the biggest stars in India. She's like a huge Bollywood star. Stars in all those movies, makes a ton of money. And she's just starting her singing career.
Fantastic.
And Christine tells me, oh, yeah, she was in town performing a little while. That doesn't help me now.
Does she need some Ralph Garman in her life, though? Is that what's been missing?
Well, no, she obviously doesn't need me, but I need more Priyanka Chopra in my life.
Sure.
That's all I know.
Dave, what's the update on night one, please, for the auction that closes in a little over 2 minutes?
It's still at 2360.
All right, how about night number two?
2622.
Ooh, that went
zero,
up.
Zero. No, wait, 0.00. Yeah.
This is my favorite showbiz beat ever.
Well, it's good so far.
Lamar Odom, don't worry about him. He's fine. Ever all these rumors about him having a drug problem? Please. You can see how healthy he is simply by going to TMZ.com, where they have obtained a video of Lamar Odom just cracked out of his head.
Oh, no.
Shirtless, rapping about cheating on his wife.
Oh, oh no.
Yeah. We heard he was trying to make a comeback in the NBA.
Well, they say he's currently training hard in Rhode Island. That's where you go to get back into shape, you know.
Do you know when this is from?
TMZ claims that it was sometime this month.
Oh, wow.
Shot this month. Obtained by TMZ. By the way, whoever gave this to TMZ, you're not Lamar's friend.
Yeah.
Here's a little audio from the video of Lamar rapping.
I believe is that you can't conceive. All these newborn babies, these bitches are strong, trying to throw them up my sleeve. They won't even let me breathe, but I take your time for a second. I know all of the chicks, not with I know all of the that got small they can't say it to my face, but they say it to the papes. All that, I'm still on a chase, and I'm far from a jake. Keep the grass cut so I can always see the snakes. And a boy right here, huh? I got good taste.
Ooh.
What would Jesus do? String of Kanye's brace.
Spiritual.
Yeah.
He sounds healthy.
He's in good shape.
Not good.
The craziest part of the rap. When Chloe's out of town, I still be on the DL. You know what it is. We the QU pimps. Ask any of these shorties. We ran through their cribs. Translation, when my wife's out of town, I bang around.
Huh. Yeah.
Good That's times. Not doing Lamar's comeback any favors, right?
I don't know. Man, I would have him not only play for the Clippers, but I'd have him be the halftime show as well. I'd bring him out and just get him a big big pipe and then just say, go, freestyle, big man.
And we are on foot and wear the shirt. I never put on pants. I never wear the skirt.
Not like Kevin.
We are within the final 10 seconds of the auction. God, please forgive me. I'm sorry. Dave, so the King of Mexico, how close are we to being out of time? And what are the winning bids at the top, please?
We are closed, and the winning bids go for night 1, 2, 8, 1, 0.
Yay!
And night 2, 2, 7, 2, 0.
Wow. Yay! Hey, Dave, just a note. You don't need to yell.
You have a microphone.
What?
Add up all of the proceeds from all 10 pairs of tickets and get a number for us by the end of Showbiz, which is so we can know how much we raised for the Philippines.
That's cute.
Okay.
That's cute, like you can do that.
Yeah. You can barely announce numbers, let alone add them.
Christine is in there. She's good with math.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Scarlett Johansson's 29 years old today. Mark Ruffalo's 46. Michael K. Williams turns 47 years old today. Very talented actor. Marielle Hemingway, a model and actress in her own right. 52 years old today. Jamie Lee Curtis is 55. Little Steven Van Zandt, the E Street Band. Of course, The Sopranos, 63 years old today. Hey, Tone. That's all I think about it. Every time I think of him and The Sopranos, that's just all I hear him saying. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Kings of Leon, who are headlining night number 1 of the 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Concert. And by the way, the weekend after they play our show, they are the musical guest on Saturday Night Live, so they got a busy season coming up. Congratulations to all of the folks who bid on the auction online at krock.com. We just raised, thanks to you and your generosity, $25,705 for the Red Cross disaster relief to help with the devastation in the Philippines after the typhoon there. More than $25,000 bid for people for the VIP experience there. So now that that's behind us, we turn our attention to this weekend. We got Sports Arena, Pearl Jam, looking for contestants right now. What do we need this time around? Who should be calling right now, Kevin?
Well, we're going to play Stump Rodney. So if you're a Pearl Jam fan and you know all about Pearl Jam, you're going to have to come up with the question. You generate the question, and then if you can stump Rodney, he doesn't know the answer, then you'll go into the drawing.
This is our friend Rodney Bingenheimer, of course, legendary K-Rock personality who knows all about rock music. He's been working at the radio station since the 70s, and he would certainly be familiar with Pearl Jam. So don't bring any weak stuff, all right, because Rodney knows what's up with Pearl Jam. So 1-800-520-1067 if you want to stump Rodney. We'll give you a chance to win those tickets coming up in about 10 minutes.
Will Ferrell, as Ron Burgundy, was on Conan O'Brien two nights ago in character. And I just can't wait for this movie so much. I wish it was coming out today, but I guess it's not coming out till Christmas. He did many things last night, including talking about his book. Sorry, two nights ago, talking about a book that he has, Ron Burgundy's book. And he also sang a song for, is his name Rob Ford?
That's right, the mayor of Toronto.
The mayor of Toronto. He got up, Ron Burgundy, in costume and sang this.
So everybody's working for the weekend. That's right, Rob. Everybody wants a new romance. Everybody's going off the deep end. Don't do anything stupid, Rob. Everybody needs a second chance.
So that happened.
Look, I love Will Ferrell, and I would be sad if Will Ferrell didn't exist, but I would make that trade if Ron Burgundy were a real person forever.
I really would. I would trade Will Ferrell, the real Will Ferrell, for Ron Burgundy. If he would just stay in character for the rest of his life, that would make me so happy.
Now, Ron Burgundy's book covers a lot of topics, including tips for getting along and surviving in jail.
Okay.
He gives tips on how to survive in jail. And he tells Conan O'Brien tip number 8.
Tip number 8, always keep your own poop in your cell with you.
What do you mean, keep it with you?
Bags of your own poop. Collect it throughout your stay and just have it ready. Because if it goes down, I mean, there's nothing crazier than this guy stained in poop running after you.
And, wow.
Yeah.
So you put it over yourself.
Well, if I hear any sort of trouble, I just start rubbing it all over.
Good advice.
I think that's a good tip. They talk about his hair, the secret to Ron Burgundy's fabulous hair.
Let's talk about the hair. Have you always had amazing hair?
I was born with it. Did you see the baby?
We saw that. But what's the secret? What's your tip?
Once again, the book covers that. There's a number of certain concoctions. I make my own hair gel. One of the recipes I use are eggs, bourbon, half a bottle, beer. Mm-hmm. Preferably Schaefer, 4 cans, maple syrup, rotten apples, coconut milk, paint thinner, shoe polish, 20 bullion cubes.
20 cubes of bullion?
20 cubes of
That's
bullion.
That's incredible.
Cat urine.
Yeah.
Wet newspaper and cream of broccoli soup.
Okay,
and
now you mix that together.
You mix that up. You make a thick paste.
Okay, uh-huh.
You put it in the oven.
Yeah.
350 for 3 days.
Yeah.
And, and then apply liberally. And
yeah.
I'm telling you.
Really
you'll
get it in
you'll
there,
get
huh?
this stuff. You've got a great head of
hair. Thank you. Yeah, I've got quite a, you know.
Have you ever been in prison?
No, I have not. I've not been in prison.
They would eat you up.
Oh, yeah. I'll know what to
Next
do.
Next time you go to prison, I'll go with you.
Okay.
That's a pretty cool offer, to be honest.
Sure.
He's going to go with you to prison. Now, Conan brings up something that he read in the book.
You slept with Bruce Lee.
I did.
You slept.
I did. I
you
fell off.
You slept with Bruce Lee.
I did. And it wasn't a homosexual thing. It was the height of being manly.
Okay. And, how was it?
And I had nothing against homosexuals.
No.
But it was just two men, and it was fast and furious, and much the way he fights. It was like two Wolverines going at it in a burlap sack. And I don't know what hit me. And at the end of the night, we just bowed and said, Konnichiwa.
Now, Bean, do you have any of the commercials that Ron Burgundy has done for the Dodge Durango? Can you?
Yeah, I can pull some.
Play thanks, a little
for the
of that?
Thanks for the heads up
no
on
worries.
That. I appreciate that. Here's
no
one.
You know, a lot of people will tell you about the Dodge Durango's available Hemi V8 engine and 360 horsepower, but I'm the only one with the guts to tell you about the glove box. 0.1 cubic feet of storage, 12-volt light bulb, all in beautiful injection molded thermoplastic olefin. Comfortably fits 2 turkey sandwiches, 6 ball peen hammers, 70 packs of gums, 20 rulers. This thing goes on for inches. Starting to get the picture?
There you go. That's a little Ron Burgundy, one of 70 commercials he did for the Dodge Durango.
I have to ask you, you've done a lot of ads for Dodge Durango.
Yes, yes.
Since you started doing the ads, sales of Dodge Durango up 59%.
Pretty incredible. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
And what's so amazing about it is it's a terrible car.
Ooh. 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 Okay.
What are you talking about?
Oh, they gave me one for free.
Oh, yeah?
And, I drove it 4 feet and the thing cracked in half.
It cracked
and
in half?
Just horrible craftsmanship.
You realize that people bought these cars because of you.
Yeah, well, I got paid. They're suckers.
What were they thinking at Dodge when word got back to them that Ron Burgundy had told America that their car was terrible?
I'm guessing that you buy all of Ron Burgundy when you get him. You know what you're going to get.
That's awesome.
That was Will Ferrell as Ron Burgundy on Conan O'Brien. We're going to come back and you're going to stump Rodney for Pearl Jam tickets next. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show at 25 minutes after 7 o'clock.
All right, Rodney on the Rock Show. Here
Hi,
coming
Rodney.
Up on K-Rock. All right. Don't forget Thanksgiving's coming up, so
Rodney,
look out for those razor blades.
Nobody
and,
puts razor blades.
Yams.
That doesn't.
Don't get those.
It's not a thing, Rodney.
Getting some turkey. Down,
Rodney.
Down.
Cantor's
Deli. All right.
Thank you, Rodney. Rodney is a longtime K-Rock DJ, a music historian, and we thought it would be excellent for fellow Pearl Jam fans, Rodney, to give you a call right now at 1-800-520-1067. Try to stump you if they do. If they ask a trivia question you do not know the answer to, they go in the drawing to win tickets to see them at the Sports Arena this weekend. This is the final pair of tickets that we have to give away. Does that sound good?
All right. That's Godhead. Yeah, wig wham bam.
All right. So let's start with some easy ones for you, Rodney. Let's go to Darren. He's on line 4 to get us going as he tries to stump the great Rodney Bingenheimer for Pearl Jam tickets.
Hi, Darren.
Hi, good morning.
Stump
good morning.
Rodney.
What was the original name of Pearl Jam before they were Pearl Jam?
The original name of Pearl Jam? Devo. All right. What did I win?
That's another actual band. That's not
all
Pearl
right.
Jam. Darren, is it Devo?
No, it's Mookie Blaylock.
All right. What did I win?
You didn't win anything. You got stuff.
Right.
So Darren goes into the drawing.
Cars by Gary Numan.
Why would you say that? I gave you the answer.
All right.
Let's try Taylor. Okay, let's try Taylor on line 5 with another pretty easy question for Pearl Jam
I
fans.
Love
Ronnie.
The
80s. I think you'll get
right.
This one. You mentioned that.
Taylor, hello.
All right. Yeah.
All right.
Ronnie, what was the name of the band that... lead singer Eddie Vedder was in with Chris Cornell before being in Pearl Jam?
Big Audio Dynamite. All right. What did I win?
Is it Big Audio Dynamite, Taylor?
No, it is not. It
Big
is
Country?
Temple of the Dog.
Temple of the Dog.
Big
now,
Country?
You know that. I know you've played Temple of the Dog records on the Rodney Bingenheimer show, right?
Boomtown Rats. All right.
I don't feel like
what
you're listening.
What did I win?
All right, let's try the simplest question of all. Let's go to Justin. He's on line 8. Now, Rodney, this one you have to know if you know anything about Pearl Jam.
Okay.
All right, Justin.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Stump Rodney.
Hey, okay, so what city and state did Pearl Jam form in?
Berlin. All right.
Is it Berlin, Justin?
It is not Berlin. It is Seattle, Washington.
Seattle, Washington, sure.
All right,
you're in the drawing also.
Rodney,
what's going wrong here? You're 0 for 3 so far. You do know Pearl Jam, the band we're talking about, Pearl Jam, right?
Sugar Hill Gang. All right, what did I win?
You haven't won it. This is not for you to win anything. This is for our listeners to win something.
All right,
let's try a couple more as we try to step Rodney. How about Margarita? She is on line
Jimmy
3,
Buffett.
And she's up next.
Don't just shout random things. Hi, Margarita.
Good morning.
Stump Rodney. Good luck.
Okay, Rodney, question. What album movie soundtrack did Eddie Vedder produce?
Album movie soundtrack, Eddie...
And also sang on, right? Contributed music too, right, Catalina? I mean, Margarita?
Yes. I live on Catalina Island.
Sorry, I was confused.
All right.
Rodney?
People say I'm confused.
You are. I'm you in about 2 years, Rodney.
Susie and the Banshees.
Negative.
That's not a movie soundtrack.
It's not a movie soundtrack.
Susie and the Banshees, the movie.
Margarita, is that the answer?
That would be a negative. It's Into the Wild.
Into the Wild.
All right. What did I win?
You didn't get it right. You haven't gotten one right.
All right. Haircut 100.
Let's try, how about, have we done Patty yet on line 1? Maybe she's the answer here. Maybe
she
can break through. All right, let's see if Rodney knows this one.
Patty, hi.
Hi, how are you?
Good, thank you. Stump Rodney.
Rodney, where did Pearl Jam get their name from?
Okay, seems to understand the question. Good.
Crowded House.
How does that...
The band Crowded House gave them the name Pearl Jam?
The Finn Brothers.
Right, but how does that have anything to do with Pearl Jam?
They like jelly.
What? Patty, is it Crowded House or they like jelly?
Neither one.
Okay, what's the answer?
The answer is from Eddie's grandmother used to make jam.
Does that ring a bell, Rodney?
Sounds effing shaky.
All right, I think we have time for
one more. All right, the Plimsolls.
How about Elliot? He's on line 2. Now, this one's very recent. He's going to ask you a question about something that's happened in the last year or so. So listen up, Rodney.
I love the 80s.
Well, this is not the 80s, though, Rodney. You're going to have to go not quite so far back. Elliot, hi.
Good morning, fellas.
Stump Rodney.
Rodney, what famous filmmaker recently directed a Pearl Jam documentary called PJ20?
Rick Astley.
It's not a famous film director.
Yeah, you got Rick rolled.
Elliot?
No, it's Cameron Crowe, sadly.
Cameron Crowe.
Bananarama.
We already have... All right, let's go to Daniel. He's on line 7.
Right, I don't Godhead.
I don't even know the answer to this
one. I love rock and roll. Joan Jett.
Curious to see if Rodney comes up with it. Daniel, welcome to the Kevin Bean Show. You ready to stump Rodney?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
All right, good luck. It's been very difficult so far.
What is Eddie Vedder's real name?
Pet Shop Boys.
Do you understand the question, Rodney?
Sinead O'Connor.
What is Eddie Vedder's real name?
Oh, Billy Ocean.
Is it Billy Ocean, Daniel?
Oh, it's close. It was Edward Louis Severson III.
All right.
Okay. I thought you were going to say something else.
All right, Daniel. All right, so Patty is the
drug.
All right, we're no more answers.
We're dead now, Brian Wilson.
Everybody that tried stumped you.
Okay, everyone that tried, we'll just say that. So only one can win. Beer Mug, please do the drawing. Who's going to see Pearl Jam at the Sports Arena this
Kenny
weekend?
Kenny Loggins.
Justin, line 8.
Yeah!
Justin, congratulations. Woo! You got tickets for Pearl Jam.
I feel so bad for Catalina, but I'm so happy.
And just in the nick of time.
Let's all stop Rodney now.
Yeah, wigwam.
Actress Alex Borstein and the voice of Lois Griffin on Family Guy joins us in about 20 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. And next hour, Cousin Sal will be along with his NFL picks for the weekend. Right now, though, very excited to welcome Bob Odenkirk back to the show. Last time we had him on, he was talking about the final few episodes of Breaking Bad, and now he is back on the big screen with a new movie called Nebraska. Bob Odenkirk, welcome back, sir. How are you?
I'm great. Do you guys want to go to Nebraska?
No.
How about if you get to see it, but you don't have to actually go there?
Excellent. I'm down with that.
You know, but I love the Midwest, Bob. This is Bean speaking. I have been to Nebraska on vacation before and had a hell of a time, just so you know.
Wow.
I've been to Nebraska. I've been to Nebraska, but you get through it as fast as you can on your way to someplace that's fun.
Yeah. It's a big, wide open expanse with a lot of cow manure in the air.
That's what I like.
It's got some darling little towns, and the movie is fantastic and has a lot of laughs in it and some tears.
Well, I want to talk about this Alexander Payne because he is the director who's been responsible for so many great movies, you know, going all the way back to Election and Descendants and About Schmidt. I mean, obviously, Bob. But he's also a little bit of a mystery because he's not one of those celebrity directors. Like, he could walk down any street in America and not be recognized at all. And I don't feel like I see him on talk shows. Like, what's this guy all about? What's his deal?
Yeah, he's a pretty quiet guy. And you know, kind of like he's like a college kid, an Ivy League college kid who's like sitting in the corner quietly, sort of sizing everything up all the time.
Just you don't notice him.
He's a very smart guy, and he's great. I mean, his movies have a lot of humor in them. He's a funny guy, but he's just not very. He doesn't put himself out there, you know. He doesn't seem to have any desire for any spotlight himself.
What's great, though, is that he's got a really unique vision, and somehow he's able to make that happen in an industry where they usually, you know, cut all of the edges off to make it as mass appeal as possible. You watch a movie by him, and you know you're watching something different.
Yeah, I think he you guys know Hal Ashby, right?
I know who he is. We don't know him, but...
He's dead.
Right.
He's my favorite guy.
But he's a great filmmaker, and I really think that the things I loved about his movies, the mix of humor and heart and the sort of specialness and of the tone, are the same as I feel with Alexander's films, you know? He's just really a master at this point. I mean, he knew exactly what he wanted. There were scenes that we shot that had only one angle, one camera angle, and he would shoot the whole scene in it and then walk away after five takes, you know, and that was it. It was like, if you don't like that, we're don't get to use that scene because there's only one camera angle. I've never seen anybody do that except, I don't think I've ever seen that. So he just has incredible control, and he knows exactly what he's shooting for.
And where did you shoot this movie?
Well, we shot it in Nebraska.
It was all in Nebraska?
Yeah, we shot it. The fake town is called Hawthorne, but the real town is the same one that Johnny Carson grew up in. I forget the name of it. But it's outside of Omaha, about 35 miles, maybe 60 miles. And then they shot it in Billings, Montana, and around, because there's a road trip in it.
Right.
So they drive by Mount Rushmore and stuff. And so they actually did that road trip.
This is the voice of actor Bob Odenkirk here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're talking about the film called Nebraska, which came out last Friday and is in going into wider release as we get closer and closer to the holidays. I think this is interesting, Bob, and I don't know if it's a trend or just a fluke right now, but there are all these funny guys, people who are best known as comedians, you know, like Will Forte in your movie or Taron Killam in 12 Years a Slave right now. And people are starting to realize that these people who do comedy are really good actors. And I think that's awesome to be able to see the different side of them.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, I feel like this happens a little bit every year. There's always one or two performances. I guess we have more than the usual. What was Taron in?
He's in 12 Years a Slave.
I heard he's great.
Yeah, that's what I hear too. Same thing. Yeah, I mean, it's not somebody you would expect to see in a film like that. But it turns out, you know, just because we're used to seeing a guy like you in comedy over the years, doesn't mean you can't do a great dramatic turn. And I think that's awesome that, you know, there are filmmakers who are given actors the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, I can wreck comedies and dramas.
You can ruin anything.
I can ruin anything.
Do you think being in something as good as Breaking Bad opens up a lot of other doors for you? As far as acting
roles? Well, you guys know this town a little bit. I think what it does is when the filmmaker says they want to use you to the studio, instead of getting a huh,
right?
there's like, oh yeah, I know who he is. Okay, you know, it's not even that they have to think I'm good or know me that well. It's just they if they don't know your name when you get submitted for a role, it's really hard. And as much as you guys know all I've done, and you guys have been great supporters of the stuff I've done as with Mr. Show and, you know, Tim and Eric and all that stuff. You know, a lot of those big wigs at the studios never heard of any of that stuff. Never heard of it.
Wow. So, that's crazy that Hollywood works that way. That's really crazy.
I know. But there's sort of like levels to this business and, you know, I've been on one level, which has been perfectly fine for me, but Breaking Bad is a whole nother level, and, you know, you have people like fans, Warren Buffett and, all the studio heads, Jim Giannopoulos is a big fan, and Jack Nicholson.
Weird.
The other night, I was at a Nebraska premiere that he hosted, and he was telling me how much he loved Breaking Bad. I guess he binge watched it. that's like a whole nother level.
That's a dark show to binge watch.
He never binge watched Mr. Show.
No.
We only have our final minute here with Bob Odenkirk, but what a tremendous cast. I mean, excepting you, of course, Bob. I mean, to have the great Bruce Dern in this movie, which looks like the role of a lifetime, and I know he's already been so acclaimed for that. We mentioned Will Forte. Stacey Keach looks incredible. And this June Squibb, everybody, I mean, she's the one that kind of out of the gate people said, wow, there may be an Oscar nomination in her. Apparently, I was not familiar with her at all, but apparently she's just incredible, too.
She is a tornado. She's your mom on acid from hell.
Oh, I don't want that.
I promise you. She's hilarious, and she rips it up. And Bruce Dern is so great, so outstanding in this role. He was always deeply, deeply in this character of Woody Grant. It's a funny movie. It's, if you've got a dad, it's heartwarming and might make you cry a little, but it's really a great film. I can't believe I got into it. Don't worry, I don't ruin it for too long.
You said you could.
I tried like hell.
I hope that we have whetted the appetite of the Kevin and Bean listeners this morning. If they're looking for something to do this weekend or over the holidays next weekend with Thanksgiving, please go see Nebraska. It is in theaters right now, and it's always great to catch up with Bob Odenkirk on the Kevin and Bean Show. Thank you for the time, sir.
Thanks, man.
Thank you, Mark. It's the world-famous K-Rock at 7:53.
Ralph Garmendus here. Time for another look at the showbiz beat here on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
I have a new plan, a new career plan.
New career plan.
And I hope you'll all support me.
Okay.
I'm going to become a hopeless addict and drunk.
Okay.
Then.
So far, so good.
Go into rehab.
Right.
Try to resurrect my image and career.
Okay.
And then have Oprah sign me to do a reality show.
Is this Lindsay Lohan?
It is. It turns out it pays to work for Lindsay, to work for Oprah, because Oprah is now paying Lindsay's rent. She got her an apartment in the fashionable Soho district of New York City.
Is this for the show?
Yeah.
Okay.
While they're filming her show, they wanted Lindsay to have a nice place to live in. So Oprah's picking up the tab for her rent, which is, what do you think the apartment in Soho in New York goes for per month?
Oh, that's super expensive, isn't it?
What do you think? Give me a guess. What do you think Winfrey's shelling out monthly for Lindsay?
$7,000.
Good guess. $16,800 per month.
Wow!
Per month.
Wow.
So Lindsay gets to live there rent-free while they're filming their docuseries, and then when it's all over, Lindsay will be living in the dumpster behind the apartment building. So.
Which is also pretty nice.
She won't have to move. It'll be nice. She'll be right there.
Now, I'm not caught up with my, what's the show that she just did the cameo on? TV show that you guys watch. You know what I'm talking about, on HBO. Okay, never mind. Just forget it. I thought you guys might know what I was talking about.
Eastbound and Down.
Yes, thank you. Yeah. I have not caught up on that show yet. How did Lindsay look?
She looked great. And she still looked healthy, and she was actually cute and charming in that finale.
Wow.
She did a good job.
It's a good sign.
She didn't have much to do. She was mostly just, she saw her in flashback.
Right.
She played his grown-up daughter.
You guys interested in watching this reality show?
I will be, yeah.
I will,
absolutely.
Initially.
Yeah. I think so, too. You know, if they start to sanitize it and make it sort of...
it is Oprah.
You know, prepackaged and very sort of planned out, then I probably won't have as much interest, but I think it would be fascinating to watch her try to mount her comeback. I
mean, we got encouraging, you know, news out of her being in rehab. It sounded like she was taking it seriously, but you know, she's Lindsay and she's rebounded before, and I think we all kind of were holding our breath that first few weeks out of rehab that she was going to relapse again, but so far she seems like she's on the right path.
You want to feel old?
Not really.
Well, too bad.
Oh,
remember cute little Rudy Huxtable on the Bill Cosby show?
Of course, Remember Rudy? She's got to be 8 or 9 by now, Ralph.
His little daughter, his littlest child.
She was like 4 or 5?
Yeah, she's getting married.
She's getting married at 5 years old?
No, she's no longer 5.
Oh.
Kevin, she has grown up. She's marrying Big Tigger.
Oh, Big Tigger.
I'm sorry?
Big Tigger. Darian Big Tigger Morgan.
More information, please?
I'm not familiar with Big Tigger's work.
Big Tigger.
I don't know why, if this is a false association or not, but he wasn't part of Bieber's entourage, was he? He didn't have a Tigger in his group, did he? That he hung out with, of rappers or anything?
I don't believe so.
Yeah, I don't know anything about Big Tigger then.
Apparently it's some connection with 106th and Park, Rap City, I guess shows from BET perhaps?
Okay.
Something. Anyway, she is getting married and she has asked Bill Cosby to give her away, to walk her down the aisle. That's kind of sweet.
A little nice
reunion there.
Won't he stop at the front and yell at everybody for being bad?
Let me tell you some things about marriage. It's important that the wife in the situation is Kevin with the groom.
When's this comedy special?
Because, you see, the people who's been married with the rings and the picture out of the church. I'm going to burn a saving.
Yeah, be a long ceremony.
Yeah, no one will be allowed to swear at the ceremony. Everybody's going to have to, you know, pull their pants up. Nothing, no baggy trousers or anything like that with Bill around.
I believe his comedy special is this weekend.
That's what I was thinking.
On Comedy Central, right? Yeah, his first show in a long time. So And you want to be a big Hollywood superstar and look like all the zeros, the size zeros and the size twos, all the models and the beautiful actresses. You want to be just like that?
No.
Maybe you should take part in Hollywood's newest diet craze. It involves soaking cotton balls in fruit juice and then eating them.
I've heard of this.
The cotton ball diet.
Yep.
You soak the cotton balls in your favorite flavored juice, and then you just eat the cotton ball.
Vodka?
So you get all the delicious flavor of pomegranate, and yet none of the calories of actual food, because you're eating cotton balls.
Say what?
But then what? Do you poop a sweater? How does that work?
Yes, Kevin.
To ruin your system?
You poop a sweater.
You know what I'm saying.
There is a dietitian that says perhaps this isn't the best diet. I find that hard to believe. Rachel Brogan, dietitian, says eating cotton balls can cause problems with your stomach and intestines.
That was my question.
It's possible they won't pass through and will end up causing a blockage.
Oh, no.
Gastrointestinal problems, perhaps even death.
But you'll be a size zero.
That's right. In the coffin, you will look amazing. We will so Instagram your picture of your corpse, ladies, after you've had the cotton ball diet.
We should talk to people who've done that. I guarantee we have listeners who've done the cotton ball diet.
We should talk to them and then take them out. Because there's no room in our society for anybody who's eaten cotton balls.
They get put in with the cat people?
Yes. If you just ate cotton balls, they'd put you in a cell. They would put you in a rubber room.
I think
so, too.
If you
were a lunatic that just spent all your day eating cotton balls. You know who doesn't eat cotton balls?
Who?
Priyanka Chopra.
Yeah.
She doesn't eat cotton balls.
Yeah, she's a pretty good deal.
There's a picture of her now. People have sent me of her in an Eagles uniform.
I saw that.
No. Come on.
Yeah.
Is the universe just taunting me now?
Yeah. Yes.
You guys were meant to be together, Ralph.
Today's celebrity birthdays... Guitarist, actor, Little Steven Van Zandt, member of the E Street Band, member of Tony Soprano's gang, 63 years old today. Jamie Lee Curtis turns 55. Did you ever see that, speaking of, back to Little Steve real quickly, did you ever see that Lilyhammer, that show he did about the mobster on the run who
I
goes
don't think
to
so.
Lilyhammer to... No.
Is it a documentary?
No, it's a drama, yeah, or dramedy. Huh. He plays a gangster, much like he did on The Sopranos. But in order to go to the Witless Relocation Program, he moves to Lilyhammer.
No kidding.
Yeah.
No. Good?
Yeah, it's pretty entertaining. Jamie Lee Curtis is 55 years old today. Marielle Hemingway turns 52. Michael K. Williams is 47 years old.
He's chalky, right?
Yeah. Mark Ruffalo, Incredible Hulk, 46 years old today. And another member of the Avengers team, Scarlett Johansson.
Yep.
Celebrates her 29th birthday today. She, of course, named by Esquire magazine as the sexiest woman alive.
Tough to argue that one.
Yeah. It's her second win in that magazine. They say she's sexier now at 29 than she was at 21, I think, when they first gave it to her.
If you had your choice, Ralph, if there were two doors and you had Miss Chopra on one door and Miss Johansson on the other, what do you do?
I would use Scarlett Johansson to beat down the door that has Priyanka Chopra behind it. That's what I would do.
Use her as a battering ram?
That's right.
It has been decided.
And toss her aside and say, come to me, my Bollywood princess. We would dance.
You think that would work?
Oh. And we'd ride off into the sunset together on an elephant. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
I want to thank the K-Rock listeners who went to KRock.com this past week and helped bid on this auction for the ultimate K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas experience. This was the two sold-out tickets in the pit, the VIP artist access pass. You get to introduce a band on the show. We raised, guys, in that auction over $25,000. Yeah! For Red Cross Disaster Relief to help with the devastation in the Philippines. And that is thanks to you. The auction closed at 7 o'clock this morning. So well done, everybody. Well done. Look who it is. It's Alex Borstein, ladies and gentlemen. In studio here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She is the Emmy-nominated actress and writer. She is the voice of Lois Griffin on Family Guy. And she is coming to HBO this weekend with a brand-new show called Getting On. How are you, Alex?
I'm good. You know, I've never heard someone introduce me as Emmy-nominated before. I forgot about that.
How do you forget about that?
I'm kind of cool. I forgot how cool I was.
I always wonder when I see that if it's good to put that in because it shows that that one time you did have some respect from some people, or is it just a kick in the gut because you didn't win and it's you'd rather not be reminded of it?
Yeah, all it does is really remind you this person's a loser, but I don't mind.
Exactly.
I don't mind. I'd rather people know I had been invited to a party at one point.
Yeah, you were one of the five finalists.
That's right.
So it really, even if you were just the one who had no chance of winning, it was just to round out the category. At least your name was on a card somewhere.
Absolutely. I lost to Lily Tomlin, so that's kind of cool, right?
All right,
yeah,
sure.
You can't complain about
sure.
that.
No, you can't.
So, Alex, forgive me. How much on-camera acting have you done? A lot?
You know, I was on Mad TV for 5 seasons. I've done some movies, some little parts, larger parts.
You were Ralph Garman's wife in Ted. I know that.
I was Ralph Garman's wife in Ted. We are hoping for a prequel, so we'll see what happens.
Follow your story?
That's right, because we're the two most interesting characters out of that film.
It's the reason I asked that because it didn't seem that as they were gone 30 seconds in.
Huh. Strange.
The reason I ask that is because once you tap into the sweet, sweet world of voiceover acting, once you get to show up in your, you know, in the worst outfit you own and lay down Lois Griffin's voice and get the big, big money, why would anyone want to go through the nonsense of being on camera again?
You know what? I think it's a control thing because with voiceover acting, you're basically, it's like green screen. You know, you go in, I'm working opposite no one. I'm imagining everyone else's performance in my head. And after I voice it, I have very, very little control over how it's directed. The animators draw it, and they're acting. They're deciding where my eyes look. They're deciding what the expression is on my face.
So they draw it after you record your lines.
That's correct.
That's when they do it.
Yeah. So with you lose control, in a sense, and being a very controlling woman, as most women are.
Do you call up Seth and go, I'm not happy with my eyes were looking to the left and I felt uncomfortable?
No, I never do that. But you certainly do feel like, oh, that wasn't my intention. That's not what I was thinking in the booth. That's not, oh, well, whatever. That's still funny. It still works. But it's kind of nice to be in full control of your entire body when you're on camera. And it's refreshing to work with other live actors.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure.
I can see that.
One more P.S. on the Family Guy, because I'm just curious. Do you watch the show? Like, is it still something you build into your – I mean, 11 years in, is it still fun for you to tune in to Fox on Sunday nights and see yourself?
Well, you know, I'd be lying if I said I never tuned in.
You know, we don't – you know, we have children now, so there's no consistency to being able to watch anything. We don't make a date for it. But, yeah, we do – when we try to catch
You do lose your entire schedule when you have kids.
It is.
And then you have to fit what you want around that.
Life is over. Basically, life is over.
That life is over.
But in a good way.
In a good right. – oh, in a wonderful way.
How old are your kids going to have to be, or how old would you recommend people have to be to watch Getting On? Because it looks dark, my dear.
Yeah, both Getting On and Family Guy are things that I think I'm going to press the hold button for my kids.
Yeah. How old for Family Guy first?
Let's see. My kid is 5, my son, and I think I would wait until 12.
12, okay.
I know many fans. Seth and I do these live shows, and we look out into the audience, and we are singing songs that are so filthy,
right.
So foul, the things we are singing about. And we look in the audience, and it never fails that there is like a 6-year-old child or an 8-year-old that parents bring them. I will never understand it. But
there are some people who just think, and this has to change, it's animated, so it must be for kids, right?
I think you're right. They think, and they assume the kids aren't really getting everything on every level. And sometimes they're right, but sometimes...
Do we have time to play an example of what you're talking about?
Yes.
Sometimes the music on a Family Guy, not necessarily for children.
You have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
I hate to tell you, boy, that you have AIDS.
You got the AIDS.
You may have caught it when you stuck that filthy needle in here.
Or maybe all that unprotected sex put you here.
It isn't clear, but what we're certain of is you have AIDS.
Yes, you have AIDS.
Not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
Be sure that you see that this is not HIV, but full-blown AIDS.
I'm sorry, I wish it was something less serious.
You've got the AIDS.
So maybe 13.
Maybe age 13. Maybe after his bar mitzvah, I'll allow it. Yeah, I remember being in the – I was writing on the show when that was – when we came up with that bit. So I remember that from
How much conversation was there about, this is in poor taste, of course, but it's hilarious, but
absolutely.
It's poor taste.
There was no comment there was about none. Poor taste. We laughed so hard. And I remember the joy Seth had when the group of a cappella singers came in to sing that. He laughed so hard seeing these just professional musicians
it's
make
like a quartet.
Heads and tails of these lyrics. It was really funny.
This is the voice of Alex Borstein here on the Kevin and Bean Show. She can be seen this Sunday night on HBO. That's big time, by the way. I don't know what your plans were, where you hoped this show would end up, or if it was always going to be on HBO, but that's almost like a mark of quality just to even be on their schedule.
You know, it's not TV. It's HBO.
I hear
that's
that.
What I understand.
That's
yeah.
what I hear. And you know what? I'm so serious about this show being a hit. We actually ordered cable yesterday. We have not had cable for 13 years, and we had it hooked up in our house.
Oh, you might have cursed yourself.
I know.
All right, we need to take a break. The show that is on HBO is called Getting On. It's this.
I want to
Sunday.
Talk about what a freak Alex is to not have cable in the 21st century.
No,
by the
right?
way, like when everyone you know is talking about Breaking Bad and Mad Men and everything else, you're out of the loop.
Wait, no. No, we have Apple TV and we have Netflix. You know, you can do so much. It's just, you know.
You're a little behind.
Not
a little
being
behind
a slave to the in-your-face constantness of.
We're slaves to that. Getting On is the name of the show on HBO this weekend. We'll talk more about it when we get back on K-Rock.
Actress Alex Borstein in studio with us. You know her from all the years on Mad TV as the voice of Lois on Family Guy. And now in this weekend's HBO premiere for Getting On. Tell folks what the show's about, Alex.
The show, it's based on a British series of the same name, and it's takes place in a very schlubby extended care wing, like basically elderly care, an all-female wing of a hospital. We take care of dying women, which is a comedy.
It's a comedy.
Right, it's Laurie Metcalf, me, Niecy Nash, this guy Mel Rodriguez, and somehow it is just this twisted, bizarre, funny little corner of the world.
So, Kevin, what are you going to do? You hate old people. What are you going to do about a TV show that's just chock full of women who are 70, 80 years old?
Are they funny?
You know, it is really funny.
Then I'm in.
The thing is, most people like want to shut their eyes to the fact that this is going to happen to all of us.
Of course, yeah.
We are all going to lose our mommies at some point. Yeah. We're all going to be orphans, whether at age 5, 15, 20, or 80.
Hey, way to bring us all down, first
yes.
of all.
And, but... There are very funny moments as people are exiting this planet, and you know I had a 2-month-old baby at the same time that we were shooting the pilot, and the juxtaposition of taking care of a brand new little human being and taking care of someone who's on their way out are so similar, and we can laugh and make videos of the baby and enjoy when you know baby has an accident up
right.
their entire back. But when it's, you know, our moms, it's somehow
not, so funny.
Not as funny. But,
not as funny.
But we are here to say we think it is as funny.
My problem with old people is they're bad drivers, and there's a lot of them in my neighborhood. So you'll sit at a light that'll turn green, and they'll just wait, and then it'll turn yellow and red again, and they just won't go. But if they're on TV and I can watch them and it's funny, then I'm fine. That's
I
good.
Might agree that I think everyone at a certain age should have to retake a driver's
Every year.
Exam. I believe you're right. I think my father... Is I think he just turned 79, and I think he is close to having. I should take his license away.
Yeah,
right.
Easier said than done.
I know.
Are there comparisons? Did anyone make comparisons, or was there any conversation about, hey, let's make sure to make this way different from Nurse Jackie, or does it cover just sort of similar areas?
You know, it's based, like I said, it's based on this British series that these three women they're created and they're geniuses. So it has its own little life. It has. And the differences, I'd say, are we are a much kind of a more realistic fly on the wall. I don't want to say documentary because it's not like this where everyone's winking to camera, kind of like the Office type thing where you're aware of the camera.
Right.
But it's voyeuristic. You're
right.
Seeing things you normally wouldn't be let in on. And I think Nurse Jackie is much more of a something that you've seen before, like a narrative that tells a story with characters in a play, whereas this feels a little bit more like you're catching sight of something you shouldn't be.
Gotcha. I'm a fan of death, Alex. I don't know if you know that about me. I do love death. And
what's not to love?
It's interesting to me. There's a show on Showtime right now. You would not have seen this yet because you just got cable, but it's called Time of Death, and it is a documentary, and it is about people in their final weeks and
Ooh.
Days. And it's interesting to see, and I'm sure your show covers this too, it's interesting to see how the very many different approaches people have to knowing they're going to die. There are some people who are terrified by it and they're miserable. And there are others who welcome it and it's a peaceful thing that they're looking forward to because they're done. And I just think that's so fascinating.
For the most part, death affects everyone around the person dying more than the actual person dying.
I could see that.
That's what funerals are for, right?
It makes all that is very for happy. I know
everyone
that.
Else who can't handle it when someone else leaves. But absolutely, I think that's what you're going to see a lot of on this show is. And as people get closer to death, some people say like, "Oh, this woman's got dementia. She's doing things that are crazy. She wants to be sexually active now, and she's 92 years old." And some people say it's dementia, and I think, is it dementia or is it a lack of these social mores that they no longer have to abide by
because they don't care.
They don't care. Right. They don't have to. They don't have to act a certain way. They have this reckless abandon that they can kind of have in the latter parts of their life. That I think it's kind of exciting to watch.
Yeah, who can complain if you're 92 and you're in a hospice situation? If you want to let your freak flag fly, go for it. Right.
Exactly.
Tell me about your character, Nurse Dawn. What's going on in her life?
Dawn Forchette, she is like a fabulous little disaster. She likes to fancy herself completely in control and fastidious and gets her job done, but she really is, she's a disaster. She barely can hold it together. She's working in a profession where the healthcare system is crumbling. That kind of plays a character on our show too, the decay that is our healthcare system.
Right.
And she wants desperately to please her patients, desperately to please the doctor that she, Laurie Metcalf's character, to prove that she knows what she's doing. But she really is hanging on by a thread. And she's kind of, even just to look at her, the way she dresses, the way she's kind of acts like she's like a 12-year-old junior high girl kind of trapped in the... Trying to be cool, trying to pretend she knows what she's doing, has no idea really how to even have a friend or a relationship for anyone for that matter, confuses sex for love, and is more than anything so fearful and so desperate that she's going to end up as one of these old women with no one there to hold her hand when she passes.
Wow.
She operates out of fear. But again, somehow it's kind of she's a comedic little disaster.
Well, I've loved the trailers that I've seen that they've been running on HBO. It really does look like it's something that's well worth checking out. It's going to be this Sunday night at 10 o'clock on HBO. First season, it's only 6 episodes, but fingers crossed we get to see a bunch more. And before we let you go, Alex, you filmed the new Seth MacFarlane movie, too. You are also going to be in A Million Ways to Die in the West along with our friend Ralph Garman, right?
That is true.
How's that look? What can you tell us about that?
My large, very white breasts make an appearance. I can tell you.
You know
that.
How to make it sexy.
I know how to get people to the theater.
I'm on moviephone.com pre-ordering right now.
There you go.
All right. That one's not going to be out until next spring, though, I guess.
But I will tell you that the script is so freaking funny. It's not fair.
That's what I think about everything he does.
Everything self. It's so funny. I laughed. I went to the table read thinking, oh, he's going to star in this? Come on. He can't do that. He was brilliant. And the script is brilliant. So
can't wait. All right. That's coming out in May this Sunday on HBO for Getting On. Alex Borstein, thanks so much for coming in.
Thank you for having me.
You're the best.
There's still time for you to enter to be Miss Double December 2014.
What?
That's right. Miss Double December, sign up at krock.com right now until, I believe, Wednesday is when we're going to close for submissions. So over the weekend, you can do it. You got to be 21 or over, complete your submission, and send two photos of yourself. Mm-hmm. Guys need not apply.
You know, I wondered if that's what Beer Mug was going for with all the weight gain this year. I thought maybe he wanted to be Miss Double D. That was his plan. But then we put out the rule, the word, you can't be a dude.
Right. So he's now on a diet, oddly, strangely enough.
So go to krock.com and enter two photos, please. No filters. Let us show them to it. Put them on the glass. Do what you got to do. Make sure we see what you're working with. And then Miss Double December will be crowned on Friday, December 13th at the Slide Bar Rock and Roll Kitchen in downtown Fullerton. Again, that's Friday the 13th. It'll be webcast, but it's more fun to be there if you want to arrange now to take off. How about our friend Cousin Sal from Grantland.com and his real-life cousin Jimmy Kimmel's late-night show on ABC, and he joins us every Friday on the Kevin Bean Show to talk NFL. How are you, Sal?
What's happening, fellas?
I wanted to know real quick before we get into this week's picks, only because we haven't spoken with you since Sunday, what your reaction was to the controversy at the end of the Patriots-Carolina game on Sunday.
You know, I never, ever liked that thing where they drop the flag and then pick it up, and it's like I saw something, and like,
does this guy go home and ground his kids for breaking curfew, and then his wife says, no, you read your watch wrong. they can't be in timeout. Take them out of there. I don't get it. I'd rather them not have thrown the flag in the first place. And, you know, maybe it's not pass interference because it happened simultaneously with the interception, but it is definitely holding. You can call defensive holding there. The fair move is to do that. Call defensive holding. Don't put the ball at the one. It would be half the distance to the goal line. Let Tom Brady make a play from the 7-yard line, and then that's what everyone's talking about.
But it's it's also not unheard of that they do pick up a flag. I mean, that does happen a lot of times. It's just not when the game's on the line.
Yeah, these belts need to be a lot tighter, though, because it was so embarrassing to drop a flag in that situation, you know? It's not good for the league.
Well, it's so funny, though, to see Belichick and Brady both, like, falling over themselves to not be critical of the refs, to just say, oh, I didn't see it, or oh, I don't know anything, because they know that they're going to get fined if they speak out of turn, right?
Exactly. Well, it might be time to pull the spy cameras back out. Not everything's working.
I like it.
All right, well, Sal was 2-1 last week, and for those who complain, and we do certainly hear from Kevin and B listeners who condemn Sal for his picks, he is at 15-15-3 overall for the season. So that's not terrible. Let's take a look at what's going on for this weekend. We've got Ravens and Jets up first, Sal.
Yes, mediocrity. That's what I strive. I'm like the split pea soup of football prognosticators. That's all I strive for.
You can have that.
Yes, absolutely. Ravens and Jets. The Jets are the first team in NFL history to alternate wins and losses for their first 10 games. They've zigzagged the entire season. I think it's the same stitching pattern Coach Rex Ryan used on his stomach staple, but I'll have to catch him to that. They lost last week, which means they're totally due to win on Sunday, right?
Absolutely.
Wrong. Not happening. The Jets have given up 86 points in their last two road games. The quarterback, Geno Smith, the rookie's fallen apart. He has 16 interceptions on the year. On the other hand, hey, remember the Ravens, the Super Bowl champs? I think they need to get it together. Ray Rice is starting to – he and the other Ravens running backs ran for 174 yards last week. This is a kitchen sink game for Baltimore. Throw everything at the Jets. They have a small chance to make it to the playoffs if they keep winning. They've beaten the Jets 7 in a row. Make it 8. Baltimore minus 3.5, 24-13.
All right, and maybe one of the most controversial picks of the weekend for Cousin Sal is Kevin's Arizona Cardinals against the Indianapolis Colts. Please walk us through your line of thinking on this one.
Listen, Kevin, I hate to break the news to you. Your Cardinals are good.
I know they're not that bad.
They're good. They're 6-4.
They are 6-4.
If they can figure out a way to switch divisions in the next month or so, they'll be in great shape.
But against the Colts?
They're 6-1 outside of division. They have the Colts or something. It's the sucker bet of the week. I'm very good with these. Trust me. You remember, all your friends are going to say, take the Colts. They're going to check them off in their pools. Don't listen to them. Every week, the Colts get off to a slow start, and they make a fourth-quarter run. Not this week. Arizona coach Bruce Arians is at a nice head start preparing for the team he led to the playoffs last season. I love it. I like the Cardinals. That University of Phoenix crowd is going to go pumped up. Andrew Luck gets his dreadlocks ripped off. Take the Cards minus 1.5, 26-20, a win.
The passion from Sal, he actually sounds like he believes it. It makes me want to start believing it.
Right, but now do I go with Sal and bet for my Cardinals, or do I go against him? I haven't figured out which way to go yet with Sal.
Yeah, 15, that's tough.
15-3, that's all you need to know. That's all.
Yeah, that clears it up for you, doesn't
it,
Kevin?
Sure does. So flip a coin.
And finally, what promises to be, according to Sal, the tightest game of the weekend is Sunday night. You've got the Patriots and the Broncos.
You know, I feel bad. We discussed the Tom Brady, the Monday night thing. He gets chipped with that terrible pass interference, non-call. He curses out the refs. And then he has to go home and lay down with that dog-faced Giselle.
That's true.
When is it going to turn around for this poor bastard? I think the Pats and Bill Belichick, they have a lot to prove here. They're back to no effing around mode. I expect a shootout with Manning and Brady. I stare at this number. The Patriots getting points at home. I know it's against the Broncos, but it just doesn't seem right. They're 5-0 at home this year, 4-1 against the spread. It's going to be a great game. 31-30, New England pulls it out.
Wow. So Patriots plus 3. That's what Sal is saying. All right. Ravens minus 3.5 over the Jets, and Kevin's Arizona Cardinals minus 2.5 over Colts. Look, take it for what it's worth, folks. You can read way more with Cousin Sal on the NFL weekend ahead at Grantland.com. Follow him on Twitter at TheCousinSal, and look for him with his real-life cousin Jimmy Kimmel late nights at 11:35 on ABC. Thanks, Sal.
Take care, fellas.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin DeBeat Show at 8:51.
Our new Mortal Enemy number one, writer-director Eric Englund, joins us right after the top of the hour here on K-Rock. He's the guy behind this new film, Contracted, where now girls are not want to go out and have unprotected sex with random strangers as a result of this film. So no, we don't need any of that.
10 years ago,
Dean.
They
really shouldn't do that in the first place.
I'm just saying he's making it worse, okay? Yeah. When you start making up STDs, that's the last thing we need, okay?
I know, because I know you're always out there clubbing and getting all those hot shorties in the VIP room, and you're having that unprotected sex. I know. That's how you spend your time. So this must really gonna, it's really going to crimp
Dean's
your style.
Dean's having sex on the street, in the 7-Eleven, everywhere he goes. He's just nailing women.
Picks up mad ladies, yo.
That's how we do.
Exactly. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat on a Friday morning Kevin and Bean show.
Before I get to the beat, how about some Breaking Bad?
The show was canceled, Ralph. I have bad news for you.
May be over, but the phenomenon lives on and the fandom has not waned at all. So I know there's some Breaking Bad fans out there who would love to see a very special screening of the documentary about the creation of the final season of Breaking Bad. It's called No Half Measures. This will be your only chance to see it on a big screen. Otherwise, you're going to have to pick up the Breaking Bad Complete Series Barrel Set on Blu-ray. This will be one of the extras featured on that DVD Blu-ray set. But we're going to throw it up on the big screen. There's going to be a Q&A with the creator Vince Gilligan and some of the cast members as well. It's all happening November the 25th. That's this Monday at the Groves Pacific Theater. Plus, you will get a copy of Breaking Bad The Final Season on Blu-ray, and you will qualify to win that Breaking Bad, the complete series barrel set on Blu-ray. And if you get that, you'll get a spot in line to get it signed by Vince Gilligan and Bryan Cranston and more. So, if you're a Breaking Bad fan, this is the time for you to pick up the phone and dial 1-800-520-1067. First four callers through at that number get the very special screening and Q&A of No Half Measures, creating the final season of Breaking Bad.
Sounds fascinating.
It does. I bet that's a great documentary. I'm looking forward to seeing that myself. I probably won't see it on the screen, but I'll pick up that complete series Blu-ray set. Can I please have my showbiz music, please? Not this Anglo showbiz.
This is what we always use
for quite some time,
and I've resented it for a long time now. You're trying to play this Anglo music under me. I'd like to get back to my Indian roots. My there we go. That's a little better. Back to my true roots. This reminds me of my family back in the homeland.
You're from Philadelphia. My family moved to Philadelphia,
but originally from Bombay is where my people
come from.
I don't
think that's true. It's not true at all.
It is true.
Huh. Please. Why all the love all of a sudden?
I just need a little of my music, please.
Sorry,
that's it. That's all I got. I can play it again.
There we go.
Nobody can see that dance, Ralph.
I know, but
we're on the radio. People can't see it.
Oh.
Why the sudden love for the Slumdog Millionaire? What's going on?
It's not a sudden love. It's part of my deep heritage that I pay homage to today. Oh, and also Priyanka Chopra also happens to be Indian as well.
You discovered her last night?
I did. I was watching the Thursday Night Football on the NFL Network. And it turns out that Priyanka Chopra is the lovely actress-singer who opens up that show each and every week, and I did not know that until last night, and no one had the decency to tell me. So I just discovered her last night, and now, of course, there's magic in the air.
What do we know about...
Wait. There's magic in the air. What does that mean?
I think she's coming around. I think she's interested.
Based on... You just discovered her last night.
And she's just discovered me.
No, she hasn't.
You know what I'm saying?
I can see you pointing.
She just discovered me.
That's just not true.
All right, we'll see.
All right.
We'll see.
Ralph, you mentioned earlier she's an actress and a singer, and she's a former Miss World. Do we know anything about her personally? Is she a single lady? Does she live locally?
She's insanely hot.
Yeah.
I know about that personally.
So you haven't done the research?
Oh, I've done the research.
Okay.
I don't mean that kind of research. All last night I was doing the research.
What I'm asking you is
done.
Is she single and
overdone,
is she local?
I think. Overdone. Research overdone.
He researched it, and then he took a break, and then he researched it some more.
There's a lot of research.
He does look tired this morning.
A five-hour energy break. popped one of those, knocked it back. Anyway, she's lovely.
Yeah.
Let's talk about showbiz news, shall we? Brittany Murphy, we talked a lot about her recently. She, of course, died from anemia and complications from pneumonia. However, her father said that he had her tissue tested, and they found dangerous levels of heavy metals in her body, leading him to believe that she was poisoned. However, another researcher says it may not be due to third-party poisoning because the fact is these toxic elements often show up in drug addicts, not only because they're used as additives in different kinds of drugs, but OxyContin, codeine, diet pills, heroin, all of the abuse of all of these can lead to high amounts of heavy metal buildup in the system. So it's not necessarily pointing a finger at someone wanting to do Brittany Murphy harm. It could be behaviors of her own that caused that that level of heavy metals in her body. So I don't think we'll ever know the answer, really. Lindsay Lohan in the news.
She's back.
She wants you to know that she is not afraid of midgets.
Okay. lowercase people, Ralph.
Yeah. Moving on.
Wait, why?
Well, Kevin, apparently there was a faux story in Life and Style magazine that claimed that Lindsay suffers from achondroplasiophobia, which is a fear of short people.
I have the opposite of that, whatever it is.
I know. You have achondroplasiophilia.
Right.
You want to have sex with all the short people, well, you see. In 2006, the story read, at the Chateau Marmont, she was with friends when two little people walked in and she started having an anxiety attack. She hyperventilated. Someone had to give her an anti-anxiety pill to calm her down. She kept saying, "I'm so scared of them. I'm so scared of them," as she hyperventilated.
That's pretty shaky.
The Little People of America, the nonprofit organization, of course, that provides support and information to people of short stature, responded to the magazine offering some advice for Lindsay. Lohan should treat her fear the same as she would a fear of any other protected minority population. If that fails, she might find diversity training to be useful. Well, Lindsay's representatives are up in arms about this story.
Uh-oh.
And they say it's simply not true. She is not afraid of little people, please. And I quote her representative telling E! News, "Lindsay loves all people."
All right.
Where are the kids singing yay now? Where are the cheering kids now? Lindsay loves yay! All people.
There you go.
She's a freaking Mother Teresa, this Lindsay Lohan.
Okay.
She loves some people more than others, though.
Yeah.
three at a time. Stop at a time, she loves.
Stop at the motion.
She likes three men at a time more than other people sometimes.
Right, we understand.
I'm just saying. Airtight!
Allegedly.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Whatever you need to say. Guitarist, actor, leader, Little Steven Van Zandt. I love him. Great member of the E Street Band, of course, with Bruce Springsteen. Great on The Sopranos. Great in his own show, Lilyhammer. 63 years old today.
Let me ask you guys this question.
Okay.
We're all lucky because we all have...
Bean interrupts with nonsense.
We need a new jingle.
No, this is a serious question here.
All right, go ahead.
We're all lucky that we have luscious full heads of hair. But if you were, a Leif Garrett or a Little Steven or one of those guys who, lost his hair, would you want to commit to the effort of never, ever being seen without the headscarf on? Or would you just say, screw it, I am how I am, and just let people, if people see me, they're going to see me bald?
I think.
What would you do?
I think I would not like to be bald. And I think perhaps I would even invest the time and energy into some sort of head covering, although I do not believe that I would commit to the headkerchief.
The headkerchief is a bad choice.
I think it's a horrible choice.
Yeah.
I think it may have worked once upon a time, perhaps in the mid-70s, if I was following the Grateful Dead around in a van selling falafels. I could rock the headkerchief, but I believe in this day and age you draw more attention to your head than you actually... conceal whatever's going on underneath it.
So you would be more likely to just be a baseball cap guy, like a full-time baseball cap guy.
I think Ron Howard may,
like
have,
Ron Howard does,
may
yeah.
have the best decision. That,
but at least he's not full-time. Like, at least we know he's bald, and sometimes, in a formal occasion, you'll see him bald. But Little Steven, man, he never lets his guard down.
No, he doesn't. I think maybe I would go with a tri-cornered Revolutionary War hat.
<That's>
I think that
choice.
Would be my choice.
I think that's a good one.
Right. You know, the look made popular by Paul Revere and the Raiders.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I think I would just go with that.
365 days a year.
365 days a year.
All right.
Yeah. I like it. All right, back to you, Ralph.
Jamie Lee Curtis is 55 years old today. Getting a lot of static from people saying she deserves a bell. I say, I don't know if the bell is retroactive.
It's not.
It's not the bell of history.
Nope.
You know? We kind of deal
And we do admit, Trading Places... Yeah,
yeah,
right.
True Lies.
That Jamie Lee Curtis. Yeah,
True Lies. Sure,
but. I mean, sure, she's beautiful, and even for 55 years old, she looks well maintained.
Sure,
but
I know
it's all
too
that
much
yoga
about
sheets.
Her.
She looks good.
Yeah, I know too much about her digestive system and bowels now to even think of her in a sexy way.
Beer mug's bad enough. I don't need to know about Jamie Lee Curtis.
No kidding.
Mariel Hemingway is 52. Michael K. Williams is 47. Mark Ruffalo, of course, what a tremendous actor. He's got all those great independent films and all those small roles, small films that he's done brilliant work. And then he also gets to be in the biggest movie of all time.
Who's that? Avengers.
It's a good life. 46 years old, Scarlett Johansson, his Avengers co-star. 29 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
I am Ralph Garman, and I walk the showbiz beat.
As you know, the sold-out 24th annual K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas shows are now right around the corner, Saturday and Sunday night, December 7th and 8th at the Shrine Auditorium.
By the way, that's 2 weeks from tomorrow.
I know. I know.
That's crazy.
We're hurtling straight into 2014. We are giving you a chance to win tickets every hour on the hour all day long today from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. And since 9 a.m. just passed, congratulations to our very first winner of this year's Acoustic Christmas tickets, and that is Maria Bashaw from Costa Mesa. Way to go, Maria. You don't have to sweat it now along with everybody else. But if you want to win your tickets, we got them straight up at 10 o'clock this morning, and then 11, and then 12, and then all throughout 9 o'clock tonight, and then keep listening all weekend long for your chance to win as well.
All right, let's talk about a new movie called Contracted. And the,
nope.
What?
Nope. Nope.
Nope what?
Worst date movie ever.
Oh, I see. I thought you were saying I was doing the wrong thing. And, of course, I'm trained to realize that I always am doing the wrong thing.
No, this Contracted, man. This thing scares the hell out of me. Let's play a little less than a minute of the trailer. They will bring on the man who directed, wrote, and produced the film Contracted, Eric England. Listen.
Feeling okay? Don't even start with that.
What seems to be the problem?
What the hell is wrong with your eye?
This appears to be some sort of sexually transmitted disease.
Help me!
Do not come into contact with anyone until we can determine what it is we're dealing with.
Eric, what are you doing? Hey. You don't make a movie where you talk hot chicks out of having sex. What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I think I didn't get laid enough in high school.
So this is revenge?
Yeah, I think so. I think this is me acting out on it.
How did you come up with the idea for Contracted?
A really bad one-night stand, and I went to the doctor the next day. I'm kidding. it was I just really wanted to make a movie that I hadn't really seen before, and I thought would be relatable to audiences, and I think most everyone can relate to having sex.
Sure. Yeah, I mean, you've no doubt been reading a lot in the days and weeks leading up to your film. People are saying what Jaws did for the beach, your movie is doing for sex. Because like you mentioned, Eric, it's an everyday part of life that you don't maybe think that much about. But what if it were taken to the extreme of it changed you so irrevocably because you made that decision to have sex? And that is kind of that's a terrifying premise. So you wrote, directed, and produced this movie. Tell me about how you found the people to be in it.
A lot of the people I knew personally, a lot of them are my friends, a lot of them are people who were in my previous movies, and then if there was someone that I didn't know or we had a role that was open, I just kind of asked for suggestions. This was almost like a glorified home movie. It's such low budget, we just kind of threw everybody in that we knew and shot in friends' houses and stuff like that.
Now, tell us about the disease that you get from having sex and when, how it manifests itself.
My personal disease?
No, I'm saying, well, but yeah, sure, that too. No, but in the movie.
In the movie. I can't give too much away because that's part of the mystery, but basically it starts out as, you know, seemingly normal or a little more graphic than normal, and then it starts to reveal itself more and more until the end, and you kind of get exactly what she has. But until then, you don't really have a firm grasp on it until the very end.
It is, I mean, this trailer is really one of the most terrifying things I've ever seen, Eric. Is horror thank you. Is horror the genre that you've always been attracted to? Is that what your other movies before this one have been about as well?
Yes, sir, absolutely. I'm a big fan of the horror genre, and I think it was kind of a way for me to do something fresh and new, because as we know, there's a lot of retreaded ground in the genre.
Yeah, and so many horror movies. I mean, I think a lot of people have woken up to the fact that they can be relatively inexpensive to make, and they do have a built-in audience. There are people who just love scary movies, and there hasn't been one for a few weeks. There are probably a lot of people looking for something like your film this weekend, and generally they make their money back, so they're pretty good business sense. Did you deal with a decent-sized budget at all for this, or was everything, like you said, you know, filming at your friend's house and with people you know?
Yeah, no, we really didn't have a budget for this at all. This was one of the smallest films, you know, I know of. And we had really great producers, Rafael Margolis and J.D. Lifshitz, who helped us stretch the budget and really kept us on time and you know, managed us really well. And my buddy Matt Mercer, who also plays Riley in the film, was a co-producer. And like I said, we just begged, borrowed, and stole everything that we could.
Is it daunting to try and get people to notice your movie when every, you know, all the other movies that are out there today have big budgets for advertising?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially when you're on iTunes or you're on Netflix and Redbox, like you're expected to compete with the multi-million dollar Thors and things like that, with CGI and buildings tipping over and all that stuff. So that's why I think when doing Contracted, I really kind of swung to the fences and wanted something that was going to grab people's attention right away before they saw anything of the film.
Now, I do notice that you're having a special screening tonight at the Downtown Independent Theater. That's on Main Street in downtown Los Angeles. And that is going to be you, Eric Englund, along with your cast members. People can get their tickets if they want at downtownindependent.com or at the theater box office. How else can they see it? Is it in random theaters around Southern California? You're on demand, or how are you doing it?
Yeah, it's on demand right now. You can get it on all major VOD platforms. It's on iTunes and Amazon, Xbox, PlayStation, all those great things. And it's in limited theaters right now, and it's going to continue to expand to more theaters. We're playing for a week long at the Downtown Independent until like November 26th or 27th, I think. And also in the IFC Center in New York, and it's going to continue to expand to more theaters in the next couple weeks.
This Nahara Townsend, who plays your star, Samantha, in the movie, is she a friend of yours, Eric?
Yeah, she is now. I didn't know her before the movie, but now we're so close. I mean, I don't think you can do a movie like this and not grow close to someone.
I just want to say she's a good deal, man. I don't like what you did to her. I mean, you really did honk. You honked her up in this film, man.
I know. I feel so bad, but she was such a trooper about it. She's amazing.
All right, you can follow Eric on Twitter at Eric_England, and it's at Contracted Movie. Again, the film is called Contracted, and if you want to buy it and meet the cast tonight, you can do that, and has all the other ways that Eric mentioned. We wish you the best of luck, man. We're always happy to be pulling for young independent filmmakers who have a vision and come up with something that looks as cool as this, so we wish you lots of success with the film, sir.
Awesome, man. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You bet. Thank you. 106 K-Rock. This is KROQ. This is the Kevin DeBee Show, 936.
You ski down one hill one time backwards, and people never let you forget it.
We did a live show a long time ago where we were skiing. We were doing it from a ski lodge, and it was the first time 6'6" Bean had ever skied. And he's not exactly athletic.
No.
How dare you?
And he got turned around and started going down backwards. And
that was all she wrote.
Hell if I know how he stayed up. But he stayed up for a long time.
Yeah.
Just flailing in the wind, like one of those big things that fills up with air, you know? It was like, woo! He's just coming back down. We were all just on the ground laughing. And I think he pretty much just pulled in and stopped normally.
And that's the day he earned the nickname Ski Dazzle.
That's
remember?
Correct.
Remember that's when we started calling him Ski Dazzle?
DJ Ski Dazzle.
That's right.
It was a terrifying experience. If you are better at winter sports than I am, how about a pair of tickets to the 50th anniversary of Ski Dazzle coming up December 5th through the 8th at the Los Angeles Convention Center. By the way, you get a free lift ticket with adult admission if you buy one. Go to skidazzle.com for details, or you can win one right now at 1-800-520-1067. Callers 20 through 24 this hour. Ralph is here. Time for a final look at the showbiz beat on a Friday morning. What's going on?
I can kind of understand why Bean made the decision to stop doing anything.
Right.
When you look at his track record of doing things and how it turned out for the most part.
Well, he's not good at doing things.
Right. So he finally saw the light and said, all right, I get it. I'm just going to stop doing things.
That's why he wants to be a brain in a jar.
I'm just going to be here in front of my computer.
Yeah.
Being first. That's all. Look, I'm going to find out. I'm going to see everything first. That's all that matters. And I don't need to do anything physical. I don't need to get off the couch. Just...
If every time you walked outside, you got hit in the face, you wouldn't walk outside anymore. You'd just stay home.
That's true.
That's true.
Porn star Kim Kardashian in the news. She really is just a mannequin. She is just boobs and that butt and that face. And that's
pretty
what
good porn star pretty good face, Kim pretty Kardashian. Good.
Pretty nice, though.
But that's all she's got.
Well, that's more than most people have.
She's a luxury automobile with no engine.
I beg to differ, Kevin. Ooh, I think most people have a lot going on.
Just
they may not have
the physical.
Physical, but they got a lot of stuff.
Okay, I hear you.
Versus that one thing, they may have 20, 25, 30 things.
I hear you.
She, however, really just seems vapid. Just like nothing's there.
Even in her her video with her boyfriend, she's on that motorcycle. You'd think she's naked, she's writhing and having simulated sex on a motorcycle. That should be the hottest video in the world. And then you look at her face and you just see just Stepford eyes, just android eyes.
No one home.
She's a porn bot.
She bounced right back into shape after giving birth to baby North, but now people are suggesting she might have had some medical assistance.
Why do we care?
Well, I think a lot of women who have babies struggle with getting their bodies back into pre-baby shape, and it's frustrating for them when they look at the magazines and the news coverage and say, oh, look, 2 weeks later, she's got a selfie of her ass up on Instagram. She looks exactly the same.
Right, okay.
And so I think a lot of women say, how is that possible? Why not me? Why her? And oftentimes these celebrities will make it appear as if, well, I just ate cotton balls and got on the treadmill, and you can do it too. And maybe that's not the case. So I think it's important to point out that perhaps there was some medical intervention on her part.
All right.
Life and Style magazine is claiming that she is a regular at a Beverly Hills plastic surgeon, where she's undergone treatments to reduce the fat in her body and to remove stretch marks.
You think she has any choice, or is Chris making that decision for her?
Look, given, like I said, all she has to sell is that shell, if you get a dent in the fender, you got to get right into the body shop and have them buff that thing out and give you a fresh coat of paint, if that's what you're selling. And her sister now, Kendall Jenner, the half-sister, turned 18. 2 weeks later, she was showing her cans on the internet.
Yep.
It's as if Chris Jenner goes, hey, come on now. You're 18. Get the cans out.
Get with it.
What do you think? You're going to go to college? Let's go. Put them on the glass. We got to make a buck here. Move along, people.
Hey, I've got a theory I want to throw out at you guys that was actually suggested by Kevin. Kevin tweets about the Kardashians, and especially Kris Kardashian. You familiar with Kris Kardashian at all, Ralph?
I do not know Kris Kardashian.
That's
no.
What Kevin calls Kris Jenner. Oh, that's how he refers to her at his Twitter for some reason.
She hasn't been Kris Kardashian in some time.
All right. Right, but I was thinking, now that she's divorcing Bruce Jenner, I think Kevin is on to something. Isn't the Kardashian name worth it's gold right now?
Oh, yes, absolutely. If they divorce...
She's totally going back to her maiden name, right?
It's not even her maiden name.
Oh, it's not. That's right.
It's her previously married name.
Yeah.
But I guarantee she'll go back to that. Yeah.
She is going to be Kris Kardashian, Kevin. You're going to be right in a couple of years.
Sooner or later, Kevin, you're going to be right.
Just on
accident. I've always said that about you.
A broken clock, right?
At some point, Kevin's going to be right.
Twice a day.
Because what's the Jenner name, guy? That's worth nothing, right?
Nothing.
Kardashian, that's where it's at. So I totally predict that is going to happen.
Yeah.
And I knew it.
Kevin had his finger on the pulse. Kevin was first. Kevin saw
He called it. He was first. Kevin saw first.
First. I mentioned facetiously a little earlier the cotton ball diet. It turns out that's a thing. It's a thing in Hollywood where models and actresses are soaking cotton balls in their favorite flavored juices and then eating them in lieu of food. The practice is supposed to suppress hunger. Have we gotten to that stage as a society where women are eating juice-soaked cotton balls?
Apparently we have.
Out of pressure to stay thin or be thin or whatever it takes?
I don't know.
I can understand obsessing about it a little bit and working out maybe a little bit too much or, eating, never eating dairy or
right.
protein or anything.
Being super active
extremes about... to that extent, I can almost reconcile. But to eat cotton balls soaked in orange juice...
I don't think we're in the majority, though, because we don't want that skin and bones... starving look.
Yeah.
It's not attractive. But it seems to be what models and actresses do.
Anyway, according to ABC News, don't do it.
Don't eat cotton balls.
Yeah. As if someone needs to tell you, don't eat cotton balls.
So food is a better choice
for
nutrition?
Turns out the human body is more capable of digesting food than it is cotton.
Huh. Okay. All right. Good tip.
Cotton balls could clog up your intestines, by the way, and give you a blockage and kill you. So, if you're thinking about eating the cotton balls today, don't. And they say a lot of cotton balls aren't even made of cotton.
What?
A lot of cotton balls you buy these days aren't even made of cotton.
What are they made of?
Bleached polyester fibers that contain a lot of chemicals. So
this story keeps getting worse.
Might as well just dip your yoga pants in orange juice and eat those, ladies, because it's pretty much the same thing.
Fantastic.
It is fantastic. Who's never eaten a cotton ball in her life?
I don't know. Probably a pretty big list, but who do you have in mind?
Priyanka Chopra.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've been a little fixated with her because I've just discovered her. You know what it is when you first try something and you're like, how come no one told me that this food existed?
Right.
Well, it was a feast for my eyes last night when I turned on the Thursday night football game there on NFL Network. And opening up the show was a woman I'd never seen before singing a song I had never heard before. And I said, I need to know who this is. I was transfixed. And her name is Priyanka Chopra, and I've been talking to her. That's when I discovered my Indian roots, when I came back to...
I don't think you have Indian roots.
Yeah, I do.
And by the way, Ralph, I've been doing a little research here, too, on your new girlfriend, since
sure,
you guys are going to
sure.
be
Call
married.
My girlfriend. Yeah, fine.
No, I'm
you
just I'm interested.
You thought you were the sideline reporter four hours ago.
That
now
was,
you're
That
the
was
expert.
My guess yeah. when you said you saw her on the Thursday Night Football. I had never heard her. I admit that. But she apparently, I mean, you mentioned she was a Bollywood star. I mean, she's among the biggest Bollywood stars of all time. She
yes.
stars in some of the top 10 biggest Bollywood movies of all time.
She is the biggest star in the world in India. And then we're just discovering her here in these United States. And I'm getting a lot of attention from a lot of listeners who are sending me pictures and facts about her and stuff. And I appreciate that.
And we can't do too much research on this particular topic.
No, she's so lovely. And by all accounts, remarkably talented actress as well. And she can sing. That In My City song that she sings at the beginning of Thursday Night Football is very catchy. So I'm just saying.
Good so deal. She will be yours.
Oh, it's a given. As soon as Dave gets her on the show, I mean, it's gonna be magic.
Sure.
Magic.
Sure.
Magic.
Sure.
And this makes me...
happy? Sad? Depressed?
I feel bad.
Lonely?
Because I was the one talking about that mandatory dress code for the Arcade Fire Tour.
Yeah, you lied.
I lied. It was a story. It was a thing. A lot of people picked up on it. Ticketmaster posted that anyone who bought a seat for the Reflector shows needed to wear fancy dress or formal dress or they wouldn't be allowed in. That was them. However, Arcade Fire didn't say that. Ticketmaster did on their website for the ticket. When you went to buy the tickets, that's what it said on the website. Arcade Fire has stepped up and on their Facebook page has posted the fact that it's not super mandatory that you dress up for the show. They would just like you to do it because it makes for a fun carnival when we're all in it together. Arcade Fire writes, however, if you have a ticket and you show up and you're not, you don't want to play the little reindeer games, then they will still allow you in. You'll be able to see the show. So
you lied.
So I lied. And I feel
bad. I mean, look, I appreciate what Arcade Fire is trying to do. This is like people like Dave who show up at the K-Rock Halloween party not in a costume. Yeah, technically you can get in, but it does make it a little less fun for everybody.
They want you to do it. So if you're going to go and you like the band, then just... Play by their rules.
Play along. If it makes the band happy, they'll put on a better show, I bet.
Right. Exactly.
Last time I saw them was at Coachella. I can't imagine dressing up at Coachella.
Well, no. I think this is their arena tours. You know, this is indoors and stuff. Don't worry about it. And Lamar Odom, reportedly working out hard to get back into basketball shape, would like to re-sign with the Clippers. However, I'm dubious. Let me say I'm dubious.
Yeah.
About his recovery because TMZ has just posted a video today of Lamar. I don't know where they got the video. They claim it's from this month, obtained by TMZ, showing him incoherently rapping without his shirt on, allegedly whacked out of his head on crack. I don't know. He sounds pretty coherent to me.
Not even making sense.
No, I know.
Here's the real one.
I believe is that you can't conceive. All these newborn babies, these bitches are strong, trying to throw them up my sleeve. They won't even let me breathe. But I take a time for a second. I know all of the chicks, not the I know all of the that got small. They can't say it to my face, but they say it to the papes. All that, I'm still on a chase, and I'm far from a Jake. Keep the grass cut so I can always see the snakes. And a boy right here, huh? I got good taste.
Ooh.
What would Jesus do? String of Kanye's brace.
Spiritual.
Yeah, and with the visual, it's even more sad.
Yeah,
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot.
It's not hot.
It's tight. It's a hit, man, and
would
I like
it. Would you buy it?
I'm going to go get it. All That's right. a keeper right there.
All right, well, look, there's an audience for that.
Well, I guess
Listen, you work with Kevin long enough. That sounds perfectly, perfectly normal. I understood every word he said. In the rap, he talks about how he smokes drugs to make the pain go away, making money off of his fragrance, Unbreakable. his unisex fragrance that he has with his wife, Khloe Kardashian. He also talks about when she's out of town, how he gets with the shorties.
Everyone to him is a shorty, though.
That's true. He's a very tall fellow.
That's right.
May not be the colloquial shorty at all. Yeah, sad news that I'm sure that video will show up in divorce court. Take a look at today's celebrity birthday. Scarlett Johansson, she's 29 years old tonight. The Black Widow of Avengers fame. Mark Ruffalo, the Incredible Hulk, turns 46. Michael K. Williams is 47 years old today. Actress and model Marielle Hemingway is 52. Wasn't she the young girl in Manhattan, the Woody Allen film Manhattan?
I believe she was. Boy, she was beautiful.
17 years old, he cast her in that role. Who'd have thought Woody Allen would be attracted to a teenager?
Yeah, no kidding. Did you try and marry her?
He did not. She's 52 now. Jamie Lee Curtis is 55 years old today. And guitarist, actor, legend, Little Stevie Van Zandt from the E Street Band. And, of course, The Sopranos, he is 63 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. If you have what it takes to be Miss Double December 2014, we are accepting applications right now. And over the weekend, you can go to krock.com or kevinandbean.com. Fill it out. Send us a couple of photos. And you might be crowned our new Miss Double December.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Every day I'm shuffling.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Is Don on the phone?
Don!
Roll another one.
What?
Just like the other one.
Just crazy.
This one seems to be about it.
Ben Cray.
Another hit.
I could be a lawyer.
I'm saying you're a football player. It's in your blood.
That's racist.
Your soul.
That's racist.
Your eyes.
That's gay.
That's homophobic.
That's black.
That's racist.
Roll another one.
I'm gonna play with my penis until something comes out.
Just like the other.
Classy. Will Kate Middleton be there?
Do you ever scratch your privates too hard and then you're just in pain?
Stupid, stupid, stupid!
Just pass it around!
So, was Mr. Wizard indicated or what?
Fire him up!
All right, that's it. I think that went great.
Well, on behalf of DJ Jazzy Jeff and Fresh Prince, thank you, and good night, and good night, and good night, and good
night. Get to the chopper!
This party is over. It no longer is, it was.
If there was something I could do for you, I would. Maybe you should try taking a walk out of my office.
This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.
That's how we do.